B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Are we putting in for overtime or what? John Kincaid's show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What, Bob, you said there was like 3 more minutes of content you had for today?
They couldn't wait for 6 o'clock, John, so we had to give it an early start.
Giving it an early start? What's going on around here?
Good question.
Yeah, well,
what is it? Is it the new Genie system, or what is it called? Whatever.
Orbit. Yeah, it's a good question.
Wide orbit. So that means the best show ever today will start at 1:57.
Maybe.
And Anthony's show will start at 10:01. It'll start around 10:01 today, so we'll get it.
If Anthony starts at 10:01, that's on us, I've been told.
I think it is. We cannot start. Don't want to do that.
No, we can't.
Want to start actually on time. Well, we got to get out early today after this.
This is our pregame show.
Got to get on that. We got to turn off that TV. That's what we got to do.
That's on.
The TV's usually on. We have a routine around here.
We weren't ready for this, Pat.
Hey. The Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app is where odds, slots, bets, and games all come together in perfect harmony. Right in your pocket. You can download it now at betparks.com. Thank you, Temple Owls. Thank you for the win last night on the Bet Parks app. Bob, that was a 4.5-point spread.
It went down to like five.
I mean, man.
I didn't look at any of those lines on the college.
So you don't do college hoops doesn't grab you because you have insight on that.
You have actual
background and understanding it better than most people.
I just didn't look last night. No, I usually do look, but I was busy yesterday, and then we went over to the Pluster last night, so I didn't really check anything out as far as lines went on those games, which is odd.
How much did you enjoy the outing last night?
Oh, it was awesome. It's that's like home away from home. I love it there, and you just see so many people that you know and people that you've known through the years and people you haven't seen in a little while. It's good. And it was pretty good basketball last night, too. You know, Temple was the better team. LaSalle's up and a growing team, and Dunphy's trying to get that thing going there. And they play hard, which is good. If you're trying to grow a program, you start with that. And they played hard. Got a first half lead, but then the talent of Temple won out on that one. And then the second game, overtime, St. Joe's takes Penn out of 17-point lead.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that
now,
was
when
a
I sh- when I
wild
stopped
game.
Watching that, I was like, okay, well, that's over. That game's over, and look what happened there. Pat, I want you to know you broke Carl's heart yesterday. Do you care that you broke Carl's heart?
Who?
Carl. You don't know Carl.
No.
But Carl's a Villanova grad.
Okay.
You broke his heart yesterday, and you sort of wounded mine a little bit when you said you didn't care at all about a Big Five championship.
Sorry.
And now it's weird because you hurt two grads of two different Big Five schools with that point of view yesterday. And when you said it, it sort of was like a knife to the heart. And then I find out that another member of our listening audience said the same thing to me, and he's like, how does Egan not care about a Big Five championship? And I asked Bob this morning. He goes, I think it's generational.
It's not generational. Temple hasn't been in the tournament in 7 years. I don't give a rat's ass about a Big Five championship.
I got to tell you.
And what does that do for me? Does that put me in the tournament? Am I watching a game
not.
In March? So why do I care about the Big Five championship?
See? Rolly Massimino did this to you.
Yeah, he did.
Rolly.
He did.
You did this.
I don't disagree with you, dude.
Like,
I really don't. It's
Bob
kind of a little
it
side
me
thing.
Now.
At the end of the year, it's a little. Who won the Big Five championship last year?
Villanova.
Well, I mean, then we can obviously say that. But
and I
mean,
want to see them
really
tie
remember?
Again for the city championships.
I mean, do we really remember who won the city championships?
See, I'm a dork. I do. I want to see it tied again for outright city championships. I want to see it tied. Where Temple and Villanova each have the same number of city championships again. That's why I want to see Temple go and beat Penn and go and beat St. Joe's. It matters to me. But it's weird, though, is Pat, and it's I think yours is the overwhelming opinion. Overwhelming. I think there's maybe one out of five people would feel like I do. They don't give a damn about it anymore.
And it's a tradition
in sports that I can't believe died in this city. And thank you, Rolly Massimino, for killing it. thank you for killing it.
I just think with so many other things going on. Like, look, back in the day, you had your schedule, and it was Big Fives were huge games. Now you go to Jamaica and you play, or you go out west and you're in a tournament, and, you know, there's Christmas things and Thanksgiving things and going overseas. No, well, not overseas, but, like, you know, down to Jamaica and all these things. But I just think it's kind of secondary now. I really do. Now, last night was a really good way of starting to bring it back. Having a Big Five doubleheader last night was pretty cool. And I was sitting next to a guy, and we didn't really talk or anything like that, but he had his son with him that had to be maybe 10, 12. And God, if I could not stop looking.
Was he a fan of one team?
No, they were there for both games.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't really get the sense, but if I didn't see like 11-year-old little Bobby Cooney there, I mean, this kid was just having so
mesmerized.
Much fun. It was awesome. And I'm just thinking like, you know, this kid's going to remember he went to a Big Five doubleheader, and I hope to God the powers that be in the Big Five continue this and keep it going.
And, Pat, this is, again, your opinion is the overwhelming opinion. I'm not acting like my opinion's the right one. In fact, my opinion is the complete outlier, it seems, even with Bob, a guy who grew up with it, a guy who loves it, a guy who has lived it. It doesn't matter to people anymore, and honestly, it pisses me off. That this tradition, that this great thing that this city had doesn't mean jack anymore.
No, you should be pissed off.
It is.
Because you grew up with it, and I didn't because of Raleigh Massimino and greed. So, no, at this point, I mean, for recruiting purposes, but even then, I mean, if Aaron McKee goes into a kid's room and says, oh, we won the Big Five championship, that doesn't resonate. If you say, oh, we beat Nova, we beat St. Joe's, we beat all the other teams in the city. Maybe that does, but the Big Five Championship, some 17-year-old kid has no idea what that is.
No, not even no idea. They probably couldn't name the Big Five.
That's not a slight to the kids. It's terrible to me, though.
I mean, if I go to if I'm recruiting a kid down in North Carolina and to come play for Temple, and I mention Big Five, and he's a high school senior down there.
His dad might know it if he's a college hoops fan,
but
not the kid.
His dad might.
Isn't it terrible, though? Like, does nobody, else is, now, I did, Carl's the only person I know that is probably as bothered as I am.
So, no, it should mean something. Like, I should care. I don't.
It's amazing. But you're,
and I'm not one of these people, like, a lot of people in the city will cheer for the city. So, St.
Right,
Joe's
and I'm not that way either.
You know, they'll cheer for St. Joe's if
no
was doing well. I'm not like that. I should care about the Big Five Championship, but clearly it doesn't really mean a damn when it comes to March.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
I root for all of them.
It is a true. I can't.
Yeah, and I think that's a majority of people root for all of them.
I don't buy that.
It's pretty cool to watch a game last night, two games. And not for nothing, but, you know, we all know people that are involved in the Big Five. And I just so happen to know the coaches of each of the teams that I watched last night. And it's pretty cool watching a game not having so much of a rooting interest. You know, I want this team to beat that
team. You watch it differently?
Yeah, I was looking for good basketball. I was kind of picking out, you know, little intricacies of the players so that you have talking points with the coaches when you talk to them and things like that. But I just had so much fun down there last night. It was one of the best times I've had at a sporting event in a long time.
Because that's a hell of a lot better than watching the Sixers last night. Sixers and the Cavaliers.
Did they play last night?
That was a freaking waste of. That was a waste of my time last night. That was time that I'm never going to get back, and I wondered where Joel Embiid was. I wondered, like, did anybody care last night? Did anybody give a damn last night? I saw PJ Tucker score, so I was surprised that this morning that wasn't the Matt Pelman didn't give me that update on the Channel 6 News. It happens too often in the NBA, just a disinterested game that you find.
Yeah.
And that was a disinterested game. The Sixers played with no interest last night. That was awful.
The numbers just tell you so, too. I was keeping an eye on it on my phone when I was down there, and you could tell right off the bat. And then when the game gets done and you see that Cleveland shot 61% from the floor, 52% from three.
Uncontested.
And out-rebounded the Sixers by 9. Right away, you don't have to tell me what the final score was. You just know it wasn't good.
Bob, I thought they were going to score 50 in the second quarter.
Yeah, almost.
They scored 44 points in the second quarter. And if there was one more wide-open three hit, I turned it off. I'm like, this is, I said, if they're not interested in the game tonight, then I'm not. If they're not going to, that was it. I was not going to sit, and I was waiting to see, and I waited to pick up, and I'm going, okay, I'll pick up the phone, and I'll look at it this morning, and then the Sixers made it a two-point game. Like, I was hoping to see, Pat, that the Sixers showed some interest in the game and came back in the second half after I turned it off. It got worse. It got worse in the second half. Mailed it in. And I guess over 82 games, this is what's going to happen. And I see that on social media, that seems to be the overwhelming opinion. Well, they asked these guys to play 82 games. This stuff's going to happen.
Yeah.
It wasn't a back-to-back.
No, it wasn't a back-to-back.
That was disgraceful. That was a disgrace last night.
Yeah, it's been a rough. I'm not making excuses for them at all, but they have had a rough schedule. Now they go on a little three-game stretch, and it's kind of like, all right, Memphis is a really good team. They might lose that one also. The light at the end of the tunnel, it looks like Harden's going to come back on the third game of this trip in Houston. Yeah, so that's good. They've been winning a lot of games with backup players and shuffled lineups. You kind of knew. Like yesterday, you asked about should you bet them or not. It just didn't feel right yesterday.
And
well, I think you felt it also.
I did.
I'm not going to take all the credit. It just seemed like one of those type of games yesterday. And I've seen it a lot. It happens at the Clevelands. It happens at the Memphises. You just hope this doesn't turn into three or four in a row.
How does Joel Embiid in almost 30 minutes of play get six rebounds?
You know what? It was weird. Early on in the game, seriously. It was 8 minutes into the game, and he had 4 points, four rebounds, four assists. Yep. And I was thinking, oh, he's really involved tonight. Maybe something's going to happen here. And then as I kept watching, just like you, the score just got bigger and bigger. Yeah.
Yes, and I bagged out of it and everything. And it's a little unfair to feel that way, I think, after the way this team has played. And that's what I have to remind myself. As my wife says to me, well, why are you angry about it? Because hasn't this team been playing great with a bunch of backup guys? And I'm like, they have it. She really does. But she knew that as far as to put it in perspective, that this team has been playing over their heads with a lot of guys out. And it is great news on Harden, because that's a little earlier than I expected.
Yeah.
Monday night he can come back, because then they come home, and we'll talk about it later. They come home to a very favorable schedule leading up all through Christmas. In fact, it's one of the longest stretches I can ever remember of a team being home in the NBA. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit in the course of the day today. We have a morning mind bender for you. According to Macy's, which holiday gift is the most returned after the holidays? I'd say a sweater.
Yeah, I was going to say clothes.
I was going to go clothes.
Yeah, I'm going to say a sweater, though, since it's Macy's. When it's Macy's, I immediately thought clothes. But as you have the idea, Bob, you can check the cheat sheet that Coach leaves. His coach will be in later on today, and he'll probably come in scathing and attacking.
Oh, whoa. Well, I don't know if this is under clothes or not. Let you two be more specific and get one more guess in the kind of clothes category, yes.
A thong. A male thong.
A male thong.
Yeah.
Why would you return them?
I go female. The female thong, I will
too
say.
Too small.
The female.
Slippers.
I hate slippers.
I didn't know slippers were...
I don't wear them. Really? I don't wear them.
I never did until 2 years ago when they gave me Uggs for Christmas. Special. I even wear them in the work once in a while. You see it.
I've seen you.
They're a special item.
You look like Chief Halftown when you wear them to work.
It doesn't matter what you look like as long as you're comfortable, John.
Coach would know this, but... No, he wouldn't, because he didn't grow up here. Pat, you have no idea who Chief Halftown is.
No idea.
Chief Halftown used to be... Channel 6 used to have local TV shows for kids.
Oh, like Captain Noah?
Captain Noah was the most...
Wee Willie Weather,
he was
right?
Channel 10. I think he was Channel 10, maybe. Channel 6 had Chief Halftown.
I don't remember Chief Halftown.
Oh, God, yes. Chief Halftown was a real Native American man who wore the headdress on TV and the sackcloth and everything like that. Then they had Sally Starr. Remember Sally Starr, right?
My dad was friendly with Sally Starr.
How friendly?
Nah, he was friends with her.
He was friends with her.
Yeah.
And then who else? I can't think of the other one. There was one other. And it wasn't Dr. Shock. Pat, you have no idea who Dr. Shock is.
No clue.
Dr. Shock used to do the horror movies on Channel 17. And he dressed like, he looked like Dracula.
Oh, really? I don't remember that one either.
You don't know Dr. Shock?
I think you need to put like $12 in the bucket.
No, I think people out there would know Dr. Shock.
Apparently not. You got three people here and two of them don't.
How about, I can't, Captain Noah, Chief Halftown, I mean, he's all these things. So, one factor needs to change quickly as the stretch run begins for the Eagles. And it's turnovers by the offense. Before the Texans game, the Eagles were 7-0. And in seven games, they had turned the ball over two times. Twice. They were the best team in the NFL. In the four games since, they've turned the ball over eight times in four games. Turnovers are the thing that obviously, and we'll talk about special teams later, but turnovers are the thing, Bob, to me, that are completely correctable. It is a, that is something that is absolutely correctable. And by the way, it hasn't been Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts had the fumble where you got to protect the ball better, but I'm not going to attack Jalen Hurts going into a mound of like 14 guys where people are swatting at the ball and everything like that. That kind of thing can happen. The A.J. Brown turnover is bad. But all of a sudden, the Eagles have been become a turnover machine, where they were the best in football through 7 weeks at only two. And now that to me is one of the things where I say, what do you want to see cleaned up? That's it. Turnovers in the NFL.
Yeah, and you're right. When you brought it up and you said it's easily correctable, to me it's easily correctable if it's not the quarterback throwing interceptions.
And he, right, man, and that's not, why I say it. He's not doing that.
And I say that because if you're telling a quarterback, watch, you can't throw interceptions, then he's changing a whole bunch of things. Then he's looking at his reads differently. Then he's cautious with the football. Then, you know, all of a sudden your completion percentage might go from 70 to 60 in a heartbeat because you're just afraid to throw the ball. So I agree with you being it's correctable. I don't know what's going on with, well, we know he was sick, A.J. Brown, last week, so that may have had something to do with it. But fumbles in consecutive weeks, is that right?
Yep.
Consecutive weeks or two out of three, whatever it was. That's odd.
It was Indianapolis. Consecutive weeks.
Yeah, he's a big, strong dude. So.
And I always heard that his hands were what was great. Now, he was sick.
Yeah.
He's coming off being sick, so maybe there's a little bit of a, when you're not at your best.
Yeah, yeah, there could be something there. The running backs aren't fumbling. Miles Sanders has not had a problem
Miles
at
Sanders
all.
Has been incredible.
Yeah, the turnovers have been different.
I'm going to give you one here, Pat. The difference is, as Bob points out there, the difference in interceptions and how great Jalen Hurts has been. The Eagles right now, though, they have a great turnover defense as far as their defense is creating turnovers, better than any in the NFL. 15 takeaways. I mean, as far as 15 interceptions. So that is the best secondary in the NFL at doing that. The Eagles have only thrown three interceptions, Jalen Hurts. And so they are a plus 12 in interceptions. The second place team is the Ravens in that category. The Ravens are a plus 4 in interceptions. The Vikings are the third place team in turnovers. They're a plus 1 in interceptions. Dallas is a minus 2 in interceptions. They're the fourth best turnover team in the NFL, turnover differential, and they're a minus 2 in turnovers. They've thrown two more than they've gotten. That's This it tells you how awesome Jalen Hurts has been.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. You're a plus 12. Your quarterback is crazy.
Best asset.
You think it's the best?
He protects the football.
Geno Smith is the Seattle Seahawks are a plus 3. The LA Chargers are a minus 7.
Yeah, rough year for them.
And they're but in turnover differential, Pat, they're the sixth best team in the NFL. It's crazy. They're doing it. They're stripping the ball. They're creating fumbles and doing other things. Jalen Hurts is this might be, Pat, you might be right. This might be his best asset.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a quarterback who, when he does throw an interception, you just shrug it off and go, well,
he never does that.
Never really see that. I mean, he's averaging what, one every four games?
It's amazing.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I mean, Jalen Hurts is ridiculous right now with the interceptions.
And it's not, I don't think he's not throwing balls because he's cautious of interceptions also. It doesn't appear that to me. Donovan McNabb, we knew, never wanted to throw an interception. and therefore wouldn't even try to fit
wouldn't
balls.
Wouldn't try tight windows and everything.
You know, that throw to Quez Watkins the other night, that shows the confidence that Jalen Hurts has in himself, has in his receivers, where he's just throwing to a pylon. Anybody can make a play there, and he knew his guy was going to make it. I thought that was kind of a more special play. Just because it showed a lot more than just a throw and a catch and a touchdown.
Just a note, Ryan Tannehill coming in this weekend. By the way, Brady's only thrown three. So that shows you,
he's
Pat,
pretty good at that
Pat the kind of level that... Tom Brady's been pretty good, right? I mean...
In his career, yeah.
He's known, yeah, pretty good. By the way, Ryan Tannehill coming in this weekend, five.
Five interceptions?
He's the guy who protects it. I was shocked at who else was tied. Brady and Jalen are tied. I was surprised who was tied with Ryan Tannehill at five. A quarterback you'd never expect. Daniel Jones.
Oh, wow.
Brian Daboll may have worked a miracle on Daniel Jones. He's a guy that is not, he has not thrown interceptions. And he has been a guy that you've always could count on, that Daniel Jones was going to give you the ball a few times.
Oh, yeah.
That's damn good on Daniel Jones' part.
It is.
Five interceptions in 11 games. For a team playing, you know, out of their minds right now. So I just thought it was a really good note on on Jalen Hurts.
For Tannehill, how many passing attempts for Hurts and Tannehill?
That's what we'll have to check. I do not have that number.
People need
you know what, though? I don't believe it would be that crazy.
I think Jalen would probably have more.
I got to tell you, I don't think it's that.
Well, let's just check
it
here right now. Tannehill has... let's see, passes this year so far, that would be...
His pass it.
Here we go. What year is this? 2022.
Oh, my God.
His attempts are 243.
Say that again?
243
attempts.
All right, 243
attempts for him. All right, there it is, 243. And who was the other guy that we were looking for? Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts. He's our quarterback, Bob.
I heard of him, number one.
He is our quarterback, Jalen Hurts. And by the way, Pat, on that is
the thing
a
might be quicker, huh, Pat?
Is a
my computer.
By the way, he only has four interceptions because he didn't get one of them. It was a wide receiver threw one.
Ah,
so Tannehill's only got four.
Jalen Hurts has 318 attempts this year.
That's much different. You're right.
Yeah,
Pat.
I figured that Jalen Hurts would have more.
It's like 70
attempts,
almost 80
offense.
More.
Yeah,
like 80 more.
I mean, Tennessee, they run the ball.
So there it is. So it's just a couple numbers there, but it just goes to show you. Again, it was an amazing, it's been an amazing year for Jalen Hurts. And I don't know, I don't think the coaching staff gets enough credit for what they, like I'm saying there, Brian Daboll gets a lot of credit on what he's managed to do with Daniel Jones. Jalen seems to get all the credit for Jalen's success. Huh. Like we don't talk about Johnson, isn't he the quarterback coach? We don't talk about him. As the, you know, it's like, boy, he's really getting coached up. Jalen gets all of the credit for his improvement.
That's interesting. I never really thought of that. Daboll is the story in New York.
Everybody talks about it.
Things get turned around, and and look at the play of Daniel Jones. Steichen, Sirianni, are they directly related to Jalen Hurts? It doesn't appear, you're kind of right.
Like, they don't they don't get the credit. Everybody just gives the credit to Jalen Hurts. Brian Johnson, Brian Johnson, the quarterback's coach. I mean, he's a guy that, remember, I think he played for Jalen's dad. I think that was the story that he played for Jalen's dad and everything like that. He doesn't get any of the credit. I mean, he doesn't get any, like, we never hear about him. Or, do you know Kevin Petullo?
Well, there was talk last year about
the passing
Johnson.
Game coordinator.
Who?
Kevin Petullo.
It's a made-up name.
God, he's doing a damn good job. I can say this. What about Dylan Menard, Pat?
Now you're just making up.
Now I'm making up names. Yeah, it's made up a name. Then.
Yeah, there was talk last year, though. Remember when Johnson came down to the sideline?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing made. And I think it was after the 2-5 start, and it made Jalen Hurts feel more comfortable, according to reports and all that. So there was talk out there about those guys, but I wonder if it's just because Jalen Hurts, when you watch him, it is so remarkable, A, the improvement that he's made, and B, what he does with his legs also and how dangerous he is, that, yeah, you don't directly relate that to a coach.
I think that's all between the ears, too. When do you run, when not to run? Because he shut off the fight or flight mechanism with Jalen Hurts was shut off. because last year he took off all the time. The first sign of pressure, he was taking off way too often.
Yeah.
This year, that fight or flight, gone away.
Yeah, he looks way more comfortable.
It's so unbelievable. I mean, it's why I am completely comfortable with them paying it.
Yeah, he's got a couple games in there with like 25 rushing yards. I think he's probably got 3 or 4 in there of like...
Where he didn't need to
he
do
didn't,
it.
He just stood in the pocket and just slinged it around.
Yeah, that Minnesota game. Yeah, that Minnesota game. That's all I remember since standing in a pocket and throwing. Yeah,
and he got rid of it in the Minnesota game. He got rid of it quickly, and that's part of it too, is getting rid of it quickly, where he's getting something on the first read or whatever and working out. But just a good story on Jalen Hurts there, I think, to get the day started. We have a lot coming up here on the John Kincaid Show today, including some numbers that are officially nuts in the NFL. But I think there is something that is constantly said by fans that may not be true. We'll get to that next. It's the John Kincaid Show. Happy Thursday morning to you here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Did you know rural counties in the United States have a lower incidence of cancer, but more people are dying from it? Did you know that prostate cancer in the black community is 90% more likely for men to die from it than in the white community? Or that Hispanic patients have more than double the mortality rate for liver cancer compared to white patients? A lot of that is because the quality of care that is received. I'm here thanks to the great research and the great doctors and nurses who benefit from the work of the American Association for Cancer Research. As a 2-time cancer survivor, I'm also not dumb. I understand that I had access to some of the best care through my insurance, and a lot of communities do not. And the AACR, that's why they work tirelessly to bring new protocols to the table that can help cancer patients worldwide. It's the official charity of our show. We'd love you to donate now, and we will triple your gift. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR and help us defeat cancer, because cancer research saves lives.
975 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We appreciate you being a part of the festivities every morning. Tell your family, tell your friends. And I want to invite you to find out why the reimagined Empire State Building Observatory was voted America's number one attraction by travelers on TripAdvisor. Get your tickets at empirestatebuilding.com/radio. Open daily and reservations are required. There is a... Pro Football Focus put out a thing and said, who, don't be biased, who should be the NFL's coach of the year through 12 weeks? Here are the candidates that they gave you. Pete Carroll. Nobody?
I mean, Geno Smith, it's kind of a feel-good story. You had to change things up, but no.
Mike Vrabel, the Titans, 7-4.
The fact that they're beating up a lot of bad teams and not beating good teams is, no.
How about Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota? They were out of the playoffs last year.
Not bad. Not bad.
Andy Reid. Come on. It's not Andy Reid. Andy Reid's not coach of the year this year. Can't be Andy, right?
Well, you lost your best wide receiver. You still have a great tight end, obviously. Two losses is nothing to sniff at. It's still the NFL.
How about Dable?
Yeah, that's
he was before.
He's 7-4. He's lost 3 of 4, though, Pat.
Yeah, they've lost 3 of 4.
You know what I mean? Hey, right now, though, he's the guy.
How about Robert Saleh with the Jets?
Consideration.
How about Ron Rivera? The hottest team over the last 7 weeks, 6-1 Washington.
Yeah, I just don't smell that too much.
But Mike McDaniel.
That was the other guy that I would heavily consider.
You wouldn't consider Nick Sirianni?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's one of them. Nick Sirianni, but you didn't mention him yet.
No, but I mean, he's the last one. I mean, is that to me, it's O'Connell, McDaniel, or Sirianni. That would be the ones that I would think would be the guys that would be the top candidates. Brian Dable's having the bottom. I have a feeling the bottom's falling out of that.
Maybe.
But he has done a nice job.
Oh, absolutely.
Their over-under was 7.5 wins. They're already at 7.
Yeah, it's when you get a new coach like that, things go well at the beginning. Usually it doesn't ride out. You're going to hit that bump in the road. Just because talent-wise, they're not there. people didn't predict them to be where they were just because they got a new coach or anything like that. They've overdone what people thought they were going to do. Now comes the critical part.
Can you close it out,
and can you overcome this losing 3 out of 4? Don't make it annoying. You have to, like, right the ship quickly. So his coach of the year status has kind of fallen. Look, to me, Nick Sirianni's number one.
I think Sirianni's got to be number one. Because Kevin O'Connell's right there for me, though. The Minnesota coach. I think he's got to be right there.
What's going to hurt Nick is the fact that they made the playoffs last year.
So even at 9-8,
I think usually what happens is, you know, these coach of the year, it goes to a situation like a table where you're a new coach. Sirianni, it's I don't want to say expected because this was not expected, but some voters might just look it on the surface like, what do you mean? He was a playoff team last year. Yeah, of course you improved.
I'm thinking Sirianni's going to be that to me, he's going to end up the same, like Dable's going to end up the same way Sirianni did last year. He may make the playoffs. It's going to be roughly 500. And I wonder, now, it'll be a different story because Sirianni had the team rising at the end and Dable's team is going down. But...
Jalen Hurts being what he is, in contention for MVP, 10-1.
It's amazing.
You talk about teams... We talk about nobody expected the Giants or the Jets to be this in Minnesota. The Eagles are 10-1.
Nobody can't forget that. No.
So yeah, to me, Nick Sirianni, unless something crazy happens, he's your coach of the year.
Jeff Kerr from CBS is one of my favorites. Not only because I sit next to him at the Eagles games, but he does a really nice job of just covering the league and talking about stories and some good stuff on the Eagles too. You should follow him at Jeff Kerr CBS. Yesterday he had a little bit of the analysis on the 49ers defense. And I think everybody here loves or has an affection for D'Amico Ryans as a guy who came in here and did some nice things from Houston, right? I mean, did he come from Houston?
Yeah, he was a trade.
Right.
Loved him.
Oh my gosh. Love D'Amico Ryans. He's right now, here's what his defense, and you talk about a guy who should be or will be a head coach next year. D'Amico Ryans is one of them. They have shut out opponents in the second half in 4 straight games. No points after halftime, 4 consecutive games. That's unheard of in and of itself.
That's crazy. That shows you what kind of adjustments he's making.
They're number one in points per game allowed. They're number one in yards per game allowed. They're number one in yards per play allowed. They're number one in rushing yards allowed. And they're number one in passing touchdowns allowed. Okay, that's a monster. I think that earlier this week when I was up in my feelings a little bit about the 49ers being, made the favorites by Vegas for the Super Bowl, I was up in my feelings a little bit saying, what the hell are they doing? I mean, seriously, it's the 49ers. They already have 4 losses. This team's cresting, and they're on a ride right now, and they are doing some amazing things, and he has got them playing amazing defense right now.
Yeah, and look, you had the addition of Christian McCaffrey that we all thought, whoa, that's going to help that team a lot. And when they got him, we put it out there, who's the scariest team in the NFC? And we weren't sure about it yet because San Francisco's defense wasn't really clicking on all cylinders. Now we see that happening. You have a winning quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo, and now you have a guy in Christian McCaffrey that makes your offense so much better in both the running game, the passing game, whatever it may be. They're legit really scary. That's the team. I'm not overlooking the Cowboys who are Minnesota, not overlooking them at all. But the number one team on my radar is the San Francisco 49ers.
I would agree with you right now. They've moved ahead of Dallas. Because you know what I've already seen? I've already seen the Eagles handle Dallas. So I sort of feel like I've already watched the Eagles take care of Dallas, so...
Yeah, but Cooper Rush is the quarterback.
Yeah.
So...
That is the truth.
While I did watch them play well against Dallas, that was a close game until they mentioned how Cooper Rush's wife used airline miles, and then boom, the game flipped because they picked him off.
Was that the reason you think the game swung?
Absolutely.
Was that story being brought up?
I don't know how it won it.
I think it was right after your tweet, Pat. When you tweeted about it, I think that's when the game changed.
Yeah, I just feel horrible for her. Airline miles are tough to come by.
Hey, you don't want to be Now you mean it's a I'm surprised that because there are some franchises that fly spouses.
Yeah, well, you think Jerry
certain
should.
Games a year
in that situation fly his starting quarterback's wife to the game, but
no,
you know, I digress. So I still pick Dallas mainly just because I think they're a more balanced team. The offense of the 49ers doesn't terrify me.
No,
it's good. Don't get me wrong.
It shouldn't terrorize.
I could absolutely see a scenario where D'Amico Ryans and that defense, they come in and they're able to stymie the Eagles and stymie Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts is sitting there kind of looking for answers. But the defense is able to, you know, just turn it on and kind of win them that game. A lot like against the Falcons in 2017. It wasn't the offense that won that game. It was
no.
The defense. So... but with Dallas, if Jalen Hurts somehow, for whatever reason, can't find an answer for Dallas' defense, Dallas' offense, you know they're going to put up points.
There's another reason, though, this is another reason why the number one seed is so critical. Right now, the Bucs are 5-6. They're going to be the 4 seed. They are going to be the 4 seed. There's no, I don't see them, unless they go on an absolute tear. They're 2 games behind the 49ers right now. I see them being the 4 seed locked in. You want the 49ers to be in the 3 seed or the 2 seed. And then you avoid them till the NFC Championship game. So it's another reason why you can have, not only do you want the 2 games at home, which is your mission critical thing that you need to do first, but also too, it means that the 49ers aren't going to be coming into your building in the first playoff game. You don't sit for a week and then have the 49ers coming in.
Yeah, and there's probably many people out there that says, look, the Eagles are 10-1. Why do you care who's coming in? They're the best team
you
in
should.
Football this. Yeah, I'd love to be that macho kind of guy that says, I don't care who comes in here.
Yeah,
I have the
exactly.
best team in football.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, those 49ers are awfully scary.
God.
Let out of the teams beat up on each other before they have to come in here.
Bob Cooney says, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
It's funny. We go on all week and we talk about, all right, what should the Eagles do this week? I think A.J. Brown's going to have a good week because Nick Sirianni's probably going to get a little...
hook him up a little bit.
Yeah, you want to get back at your old team. He's feeling healthy again after being sick last week. I do feel that. But this running game is unbelievable. Like, listen to these numbers over the last 5 games. It's just a handful of games I took. It has nothing in particular. Before I looked up numbers, I said, let me do last 5 games. They are averaging 30 rushes a game for 170 yards. That's 5.6 yards a carry over their last 5 games. Now, think of that. We talk about the all-time greatest running backs in the NFL. There's 2, maybe 3, that averaged over 5.5 yards a carry. As a team... The Eagles are averaging 5.6 yards a carry their last 5 games. They've gone for 852 yards in those 5 games, 8 touchdowns. I was right on it right away. I said, yeah, Tennessee Titans, sure. A.J. Brown, he's going to eat. You let him go. Sirianni's a player's coach. He's going to dial it up and dial it up. Really? Do we have to? Like, are we overthinking it?
Yeah, I brought this up earlier this week. Why don't we...
Yeah, I think they're that good offensively that they can do that. And they've showed to do that this year that, as we talked about many times, some guys don't get targets one game and the next game they're targeted 10 times. And it works out fine. And everything has worked out fine for what they've dialed up. But as it gets later in the season, I think more so than anything, you play to your strengths. And I don't think they should. I think A.J. Brown is going to get targeted. I do think he's going to have a good game. But, man, they have to run the ball 25 to 30 times again. Have to.
It's not what Nick Sirianni and this coaching staff want to do.
It's not what the ownership group
wants. And that could be, absolutely. But in my mind, last year you rampaged through November running the ball. You got your season back on track. This November, the Eagles rampage through again running the ball. Maybe it's this time of year. This is what we always hear. That you want to be able to run the ball come December. You got to be able to play defense and run the ball. This team can play defense and they can run the ball.
Yeah, I just, the more and more I went over it, I was like, why? It's that simple. Why complicate? We talked about, and I gave the numbers out the other day, of what Derrick Henry does per game, and you're talking about 20, at least 20, upwards of 25 rushes a game for him. I want to kind of, if I'm the Eagles, go tit for tat.
Yes.
Okay, you got Derrick Henry. We have an offense that has produced 5.6 yards a carry over the last five games. That's incredible. That's an incredible number, and it's a tribute to this offensive line and the Miles Sanders and the Jalen Hurts. So, yeah, I don't think we should overthink it. I think just go after him and beat him up that way.
I believe it really works, Pat. I think that's what you got to do. And I know it's not what they want to do, but I think it's what they got to do.
I agree. I think winning the turnover, not the turnover battle, the time of possession battle this week is so critical. I don't want to see a situation where Derrick Henry just kills 7 minutes of game clock, and it's a situation that mirrors the Washington game. So the way to combat that is to run the football yourself, run it effectively. You have the weapons to do that, so... I think they will. I mean, I don't think they're going to sit there and see the success they had on Sunday night and go, "Oh, we're not going to do that. We're going to throw the ball 50 times."
I don't.
I could see this though. I could see this coaching staff coming out with a pass happy game plan.
I still get nervous about it. I do. I like the passing game, and I think Jalen Hurts is a good passer, and I think you have a great receiving core. So. To say not to use that is ridiculous. But using the run to set up the pass right now, I just think is your hot way of going.
I'd be fine 60-40 run pass.
Yeah, it's...
It's just where I'm at. And I love it. I love it. Absolutely love it.
I just, people all say that you can't win Super Bowls without throwing the football. And I understand that. Absolutely. But... Man, if you can get a 14-0 lead with a running game and keep the ball away from the other team and...
And a team that wants to run the ball themselves, so it's going to take them... They're not going to get as many possessions.
Yeah.
Because they run clock.
Yeah, and if you can get a lead, and the Eagles were so good at scoring in the second quarter, if you can get that early lead, who are the quarterbacks, just say, in the NFC that really scare you if you force them to throw the ball? Not a whole lot. And this secondary is so good, the Eagles... That if you're forcing somebody to throw the ball, does it scare you?
No. So, I love it. I love how you're thinking, Bob.
We'll see. We'll see how it happens. If I was a head coach, I know it would be hard for me to keep dialing it up because you love the pass, and rightfully so, with this passing or
with
receiving
team,
quarter
yeah,
that
exactly.
you have. Yeah.
Pat, what do you got as far as we've been thinking about the auction that Howie Roseman could hold, and it really does. It creates a special feeling. It's really been a bonding moment for us.
It has.
The idea of the auction.
Yeah, it's got us...
Yeah, but you have me worried this morning. Why are you potentially concerned about the idea of the auction for the pick of the Saints?
Suddenly I have doubts.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, suddenly I have some doubts.
What are the doubts?
It has nothing to do with a player, either.
Okay.
So it's not like this is a situation of, oh, well, if you're here, you got to take this guy, you got to consider this guy. So it was actually something you said in the pregame show.
All right.
So let me read off your top 10 right now of the NFL draft order.
All right, fine.
Houston.
Quarterback needs.
Right. Chicago.
Not taking a quarterback.
It doesn't even matter who they're taking. Doesn't even matter who they're looking at.
Right.
Number 3, Detroit. Number 4, Seattle. Carolina. The Eagles. Arizona, Green Bay, Las Vegas, Houston. 4 of the top 10 acquired the pick.
Oh,
4 of the top 10
yeah.
teams that would be picking in the top 10 traded their first round draft pick, whether it be for Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, a trade up last year in the Saints situation, or for Deshaun Watson. I don't know how many teams are really going to be willing to give the Eagles likely what they want, which would be a future first round pick, because I think teams might be gun shy, at least for a year, for trading a future first-round pick after they saw what happened to Cleveland, Denver, and now L.A. Now, L.A., it worked out because that pick was from 2 years ago from the Matthew Stafford trade. But
correct.
After what happened with Denver and Cleveland, and then you look at what happened with the Saints, too, it's not like that value that they got from the Saints trading up wasn't a whole lot.
Pat, can I tell you, I don't like your attitude this morning.
I'll show my Michael.
I mean, I really. It's
like, he's a realist.
He is a realist. And Pat, I don't like your logic this morning because that is a logical thing. But I do believe in a quarterback-heavy draft, there are going to be drunken sailors out there.
I hope
in
you're
GM
right.
offices with a this is going to be the most quarterback heavy draft in the top 10 that we've seen in a long time. And so to me, I do think we're going to, though logically you make complete sense there, I think you're still going to have general managers that are going to be itchy to get, they got to solve the quarterback problem. Carolina needs a quarterback. Houston needs a quarterback. Detroit needs a quarterback. They want a quarterback. Even though Jared Goff hasn't had a bad year, they want a quarterback, reportedly.
Yeah. He's kind of like Sam Bradford at this point.
Yeah, they're looking
he's
to...
He's good, but
they're looking
never,
to do something. They're looking to do something
Yeah,
different.
they need elite.
Rare is the time you have one of the worst records in the NFL and you don't need a quarterback.
That is correct.
You know, so... it's such a great position to be in for Howie Roseman, not only for where the draft capital is, but you're sitting on a 10-1 record too.
That's where it's even better because you're talking about just, but I'm looking at it this way. You have to begin, and the whole idea why I keep talking about this auction and I had people giving me grief about it, friends of mine giving me grief about it, going, what do you care? Look,
what kind of friends are they?
Because they believe that there's huge defensive players
I don't
in
like
this
your
draft.
Friends.
I don't either. No. Because here's what I'm saying is, you're going to have to pay Jalen Hurts after this year, Pat. You got to pay Jalen Hurts. Probably you're going to pay him this offseason, and you're most likely going to pay him a king's ransom. And so you need to restock the shelves with cheap talent that allow you to replace some of the talent you've got. And to me, you've got to do it. You have to restock the shelves with draft picks.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
that's what that's got to be for.
Looking at it, I think the only teams that would be considering a quarterback that might be looking to trade up would be Tampa Bay, Seattle, Indy.
I don't know, it's Geno Smith having
maybe
a resurgence there in Seattle.
He is.
The answer, Pat.
You just got to wonder if they believe in Geno long term.
Yeah.
I mean, if whether they believe that that's real, what they've seen. I don't know. I'm just saying, Pat, your attitude this morning is sort of pissing me off.
Yeah, I mean, and look, you're not wrong. There will be some team
that makes total logical sense what you said, and that drives me crazy.
There will be some team that like Las Vegas, for example, sitting 9. They're probably there. They want Derek Carr gone. They'll usher Derek Carr out, but is one of the top quarterbacks to default on at 9? No. But they'd probably look to trade up to number 2 with Chicago, who doesn't need a quarterback.
And you're right about Seattle also. Geno Smith's 32 years old.
Right, exactly.
He's just having one of those years.
But you're saying Chicago, though, Pat, too, is that then they're thinking the same thing. Is that
they can't give up.
Believe they've got their quarterback.
Yeah.
So they're going to say, oh, well, we can fill other needs.
Yeah, exactly. So
what you got to do?
Chicago falling in 9 and giving up a lot.
So we need the Saints to really pick up the losing.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
That'd be ideal.
If they win one game the rest of the year, I believe they're going to be the third pick. If they just win once. So we just need the Saints to keep losing. And I think they're going to end up with the third pick, if that's the case. And if you're sitting with the third pick, you are sitting gold. I mean, it is gold, Jerry.
If you're Howie Roseman and you put in your 10 hours in the office every day or whatever, for a half hour of that, I would put my feet up on the desk, I'd put my hands behind my head, and I would just dream of top 5 pick, sitting at 10-1,
winning
possible
a Super Bowl,
MVP
baby.
At the quarterback position. Yeah, I'll talk about those numbers of a contract with him later, but, you know, it's kind of just a half hour out of every day. I would sit there and say, okay, I've done good so far. I'll do better in a minute. Just give me a minute.
Bob brought this up earlier in the show, and it's something that I wanted to talk about today. It's why we don't do the show before the show. And talking about Jalen Hurts, when you stack him up against his peers and the confidence level you have. We'll get to that next. It's the John Kincaid Show, Thursday morning with you here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Everybody's already making plans for Saturday morning. Of course, they're going to listen to Wake and Cake. But then they're going to get to the Bet Parks app, and they're going to place a wager on the world soccer match that everybody will be watching, the USA versus the Netherlands. And don't forget, you've got college football's championship weekend this weekend. You got the Birds at home, 5-point favorites over the Tennessee Titans. And, of course, if you want to bet on the local hockey team, they're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Bet the Birds every single week. And with live in-game wagering, you can bet on the action as it happens. If your team falls behind and you think you're very confident they're going to win, the odds are going to swing in your favor. Right now, new users can get up to $750 in sportsbook bonus back if your first bet's not a winner. Go to betparks.com. They've got all the terms and conditions. You can bet on individual player performances like touchdowns, points, rebounds, assists, and more. You're going to love the Bet Parks app. You got to be 21. You must be present in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show, the show that makes you money. I'll tell you how coming up. 7 a.m. hours brought to you by the all-new Bet Parks app. Sportsbook and casino in one sleek, easy-to-use app in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. One of our listeners who has told me that I can share it with you guys, but I can't. I'm not going to share his name on the air. But I'm going to send it to you and Pat. One of our listeners was listening yesterday, and he heard my theory about what I do, like, every single Saturday. So I went and did the math yesterday. Every single Saturday this year, the Bet Parks app does an amazing job of saying you get a three-team parlay. If you do a three-team parlay, they give you the 33% odds boost. All year long, I've just gone and gotten the biggest favorites that I can get money lines on. And I've taken advantage of my 33% odds boost. Every time they offer it, I take advantage of it. And I've won 78% of the time.
78, Pat.
78%. I've lost 22, but 78% of the time. Just betting the favorites. So one of our listeners, I just sent you the text, by the way, so you guys can look at it. We're not giving the guy's name on the air. But he put his my big favorite theory to the test last night, and he did it in the NBA. He bet $100 on the money line on a six-team NBA parlay where every team was favored by 5 points or more. And he hit for plus 475.
Attaboy.
You're not going to get rich doing it. And in college football, I haven't done it with the pros because Parks has this great thing where they give you they take a college spread and they double it. So whatever, they take a big game in college football and they double it every weekend. And then they take a big game in the NFL and then they cut the spread in half. So it's usually not a Philadelphia game. Let's say if the San Francisco 49ers were favored by 6 points, you get the point spread at three, whatever it is. If you bet on favorites, you're not going to get rich, but you can win a lot, but you just don't win a lot. You can win a lot, but you don't win a lot.
Your percentage is good. Your bank statement doesn't grow tremendously.
Because I know Chunas and I know Jamie love the, do the like 10-team $5 parlay.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome. Something.
And they're fun. They're fun to watch. And you think, maybe I can hit this. And I know Chunas hit one big last year. My nephew hit one big last year doing that. And it's boring, but I found that it wins. Betting on the favorites, and it is a boring prospect to do so. But that was
gamblers. Good. Gamblers aren't usually a patient bunch.
No, they want to go for the big payday.
Yeah,
they don't want to go for the little payday.
That's how it works.
They don't use the envelope method like I do in Vegas. They tend to just go. Let's go.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I was going to say I don't know anybody that uses the envelope method. But after you brought it up the first time, we did get a few people that said they do that.
I thought it was smart. I used it.
You did use it, yeah. And did you find it helped you?
Yeah.
It does, because you tend to have, the amateur gambler tends to have good days and bad days. And when you have your good day, it covers your bad day. And again, I never tend to have a big payday coming out of Vegas, but I never have a bad loss. I never get all the money I brought would gamble with me gets lost.
Well, congratulations on your success.
Smart doing it. You can handle it. By the way, it looks like the expanded 12-team college football playoff will be coming for the 2024 and 2025 seasons. So you can have more 25 and 30-point victories in the college football playoff, which are always highly entertaining.
It's more football. It's all that matters. More football. Yay.
Yay. Yay. Here it is. It's good. As long as everybody just acknowledges it's about the participation trophy, it's cool. But what they're going to do is they're going to give automatic bids. So they're not looking to find the best teams in the country to play off. They're looking to give automatic bids to conferences so conferences can just say, we made it. And that's where I just said, look, if you want to have a playoff, make it the best teams. Do it with the best. But that looks like...
Rise to the
how
top?
Are they not?
Because if they give the auto bid, they're not.
Okay.
That every year, like if you expand to eight, Pat, many, many times the eighth team in the country is not a conference champion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to expand to eight, now expanding it to 12, you might as well. If you're putting 12 teams in the college football playoff, you might as well just say you're just giving out participation trophies. And that's about what it's at. Hey, as we start this 7 o'clock hour of the show, and I know we talk about the MVP of season of Jalen Hurts a lot and his candidacy a lot. But I was just thinking about it, and then Bob brought it up in the 6 o'clock hour, and I'm like, oh, God, I hope he doesn't go here. There is the playoff quarterback field in the NFC. Is there anybody in the conference where we're going to say the potential quarterback matchup, and I know quarterbacks don't play against each other, isn't advantage Philadelphia? Just quarterback versus quarterback. So the Eagles have their first-round playoff matchup. San Francisco's coming to town. Jalen Hurts has had a much better season than Jimmy Garoppolo. He's a much better quarterback. Let's say at some point Minnesota comes to town. Jalen Hurts and Kirk Cousins. Yeah. Are we ever going to say that Jalen Hurts isn't the better quarterback there? Dak Prescott is one that I thought about. Because I think
he's at the top of my list.
I think Dak's a better passer than Jalen.
He's got a great receiving core also.
But I don't think Dak makes as intelligent of decisions with the football as Jalen.
He's more prone to the turnover.
He's also more prone to take a chance.
Yeah.
To make that decision. Is there anybody else? Daniel Jones?
No.
Taylor Heineke? I mean, Tom Brady? Not this year, though. Not this year. Now, on a given Saturday night under the primetime lights, it would scare the hell out of me. It really will. If Brady's coming into town, and you just always are going to think that he could dial one up.
I'll tell you what. When we were watching the Eagles play Green Bay last week, and my anxiety of Rodgers going against the Eagles, and I was really thinking this out, if the Eagles get Tampa in the playoffs, whatever, I think my anxiety of Rodgers going against the Eagles would outdo my anxiety of Brady going against the Eagles. I think he's... I don't want to say Tom Brady's lost it, but I think he's on that much of a downslide.
It appears he is, but it's that boogeyman mentality. Now, Pat, you don't like the boogeyman. Scares you, right?
Yeah, it terrifies me.
Think he's going to put boogies on you. I never understood the boogeyman. Did it have anything to do with boogies?
No.
It doesn't.
So. I don't think so.
Why did they name him that?
I don't understand. I thought it was a giant, like, monster-looking thing covered in boogies. Is what I would think of as a kid. I wouldn't want that thing near me.
I thought it was somebody that came to pick your nose.
See, that's scary too. Tom Brady, though, to me, that still would scare me. It's still in the back of my mind would be going, don't tell me Brady's going to dial one up tonight.
I don't know why. I just don't feel it that much this year with him.
Agreed.
Is it Dak then for you, Pat? Would be the guy that would most scare you? Because honestly, we have the best quarterback in the NFC field. I think it's easy to say right now we have the best quarterback in the NFC field this season.
So I'm not scared of any team in the NFC at all. But
coming in,
pick one.
Okay,
it would be Dallas and Dak.
Yeah,
are you scared of defenses or offenses?
Well, I think they're the most complete team, but their offense with Dak, their weapons they have, they're going to put up points. So. I look at Tampa, they have questions. Brady, how I just think he's cooked. San Francisco, their offense with Jimmy G.
Isn't going to scare you.
Isn't going to terrify you. Their defense is really good. I mean, like, it just, there's only two or three complete teams I look at, and Dallas is one of them.
But if we're staying on this quarterback thing.
Yes.
I go Dak, Cousins, Brady, Garoppolo, and then Geno Smith fifth, just because of the year he's having.
I'm going to go, if you're talking the quarterback's talent, Bob, I think you have the right list. The only thing is the San Francisco offense has weapons that I think could cause problems for the Eagles.
That's why I have Cousins so high. I mean, Justin Jefferson is
No, I'm talking about the San Francisco offense.
I know, but yeah, I'm saying why I have Cousins right. Second, because I think their offense has a lot of talent.
Oh, that's scary, like...
Yeah.
You're not
gonna... Dalvin Cook. You can't sleep on.
No.
And different players that they have. They still have Adam Thielen. They still, you know, Kirk Cousins just gets it done. Not in a way that scares you. I don't think anybody listening here or YouTubers or us in this room. I don't think anybody's scared of a Kirk Cousins.
No.
But he does get it done. And he has a receiver in Justin Jefferson that, to me, he's gotten into that elite group with me as must-watch TV every time that team's on.
Pat continues to say, now, Pat, do you believe there's anything that's going to happen in December that'll change your opinion? Because you're like, you say, I'm not scared of anybody.
No.
Six games to go, you're like, I'm not scared of anybody.
No,
in the
barring injuries, no. Anyone can get it.
Okay, Tony wants to know if you got your glasses fixed.
No, I'm sorry.
No, he just took them off when I was in there. Yeah,
but he can't.
Yeah, they're on, but they're on because they're pinned against my head. No.
Okay, so they're just pinned. Yeah,
I just don't feel like putting in my contacts.
Christina said she'd go and get them fixed for me.
No, that's all right.
You sure?
I'll eventually get it done. I just woke up today. I didn't feel like putting contacts. I have my contacts in my pocket.
It's funny. Contacts are a funny thing. This morning,
I hate them.
Yeah, this morning I get, you know, ready to come to work and I put in my contacts, boom, boom. I'm standing at the kitchen island and I don't even pay attention. But I did think of Pat because there's so many people that they do struggle with them. They struggle, like Pat has to go to the bathroom and look in the mirror and it's, I feel bad for people like that. My friend Glenn and I, we've both had contacts since we were like 13, 14 years old.
You've worn them forever.
Yeah, I'm not that old, John.
No, but I mean, you've worn them forever.
I'm kidding, yeah. But I could literally just take them. I could sit here, right? You've seen me do it 100 times here. I do it every day. I can put them in and take them out anywhere.
It freaks me out.
Does it really?
Oh, because I can't do it.
Yeah, I never.
It freaks me out every time I see you talk. I look away.
If I just went, like,
I look away as soon as you start doing it. I'm like, oh my God.
That bothers you?
I can't do it. No, and I couldn't do it. And when they tried to give me contacts, because I have perfect vision for distance.
You mean you're farsighted.
And I can't, which doesn't make sense because I think it should be opposite.
Why?
Because I have perfect vision for
distance, so you can see far away, so you're farsighted.
So if you need glasses, then I need glasses for near.
Yes, right.
So I would think you'd be, that the glasses thing means if I need glasses for near, that means it's because I'm farsighted. That's strange to me. That seems opposite. But I couldn't do it. I said they gave me the one contact for one of them, one in the other to put one in the eye, and I vomited within 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, I vomited. And they said some people do that.
Oh, believe me, I understand it.
I was ready to go nuts just putting them in my eye.
Like a bitch?
Well, yes. I was ready to freak out. Does Anthony wear glasses? Or contacts?
No.
I don't think so.
He can't see.
Because I've seen him with his phone right up on his face.
He does that. When he needs to see far away, Jamie and I used to get him on all the time. Like, dude, go to the eye doctor. Come on.
We have insurance for it.
Yeah. Going to the eye doctor is one of my, I had an eye injury when I was little, so I had, you know, whatever.
That was the fork in the eye.
I had a fork in the eye.
About it.
Yeah. But I love going to the eye doctor. I don't know why. I love having, I'm sure everybody does, but there are so many people out there that don't like going to eye doctors. They don't like people messing with their eyes, and you get the puff of air that goes in your eye when you get an eye exam. I love that stuff.
You don't like it, Pat.
Not at all. That's weird, Bob. I love you, man, but that's weird.
I like having perfect eyesight.
Okay.
So I have horrible eyesight, but when they give me, you know, they do the exam and they give me new contacts, it's great to be able to see near and far.
I also, like, half the time it's, all right, which one looks better, this one or this one? And I'm like,
what do you mean?
Yeah.
When they ask you, they say, what do you see better, the top line or the bottom line?
All right,
you can't figure it out or
this
what?
This one or this one? This one or the...
Yeah,
like,
but you can't figure it out? Or does it what?
It usually doesn't look that much different. So then, but I have to give an answer.
Hey, you do. Answer, Pat. Answer.
You can say same.
Hey, by the way, our Jalen Hurts conversation leads me to this. No one's going to be able to convince Jalen that he shouldn't get top dollar when his contract's up either. All of this means, when we're just doing a little exercise here, especially if he gets, if this team goes to the Super Bowl, they're paying him a king's ransom.
Yeah.
And so it just realize that that's coming. Another reason why I need that New Orleans pick to be auctioned off.
knows stuff.
Coach knows stuff?
No, he's not here. But I don't have a Pat knows stuff button for obvious reasons.
Oh, okay.
But I did look up the origin of the boogeyman.
What is it?
All right, so it basically comes from the 19th century, and it's a combo of two words, and they basically got boogeyman from bugbear.
Bugbear?
It relates from bug, meaning goblin, or scarecrow, and bear, an imaginary demon in the form of a bear that ate small children.
Oh, my gosh.
So originally it was bugbear, and then it got whittled down to boogie, I guess.
Okay.
Because B-U-G-B-E.
Right.
And then now it's boogeyman.
I always thought boogeyman was a giant, like, I always pictured like a Michael Myers-type character with boogies all over him. That's what I always thought it was.
A bear.
The boogie, what boogeyman was?
Small children.
Hey, Staples stores are a new world of possible. They got innovative tools for small business, remote workers, and learners. You can explore more at your local Staples store or visit staplesconnect.com. Have you registered for the holiday wheel yet? 97.5 The Fanatics Holiday Wheel is back. We're going to have it spinning the week of December the 12th. We'll start calling names. You go to 97.5thefanatic.com and get yourself registered. If your name is called, you have a chance to spin the wheel. And every wheel spinner automatically receives a $50 Rally House gift card. By the way, my Rally House in Exton, I was in yesterday before Stretch Zone, totally loaded up for the holidays. I mean, they back during the Phillies, it was getting picked over with all the people coming in there. It looked like it was rampage going through there every day. Lots of great stuff. Lots of great new Philly stuff, too. You can check out, too. So you're going to get that $50 gift card. Rally House, your city, your house. It's Rally House. Hey, the wheel's back. We'll pick once at 8 o'clock every day, Anthony, at noon, and the best show ever at 4 p.m. You could win some amazing prizes. So register for the holiday wheel today. Sounds like a good deal.
Yes, sir.
Hey, looking at the Trey Turner news leaks. ESPN and the Major League Baseball Network claiming that the free agent market could get heated up next week at the winter meetings, which begin on Sunday. And there's so much to like about the potential addition of Trey Turner. But I can't get over the fact that a substantial addition to the pitching staff from the guys who cover the Phillies, and these guys are well attached and doing the legwork, that they don't believe a substantial addition to the pitching staff is really even being kicked the tires on. I won't accept that Andrew Painter joining the rotation at some time next year is enough to say, yeah, we're fine. This is a team that needed bullpen games down the stretch, all like two nights a week, and needed them to get through playoff series, bullpen games, a division series, an NLCS, and the World Series. And I do believe it's something that is a huge problem. And I can't believe that they're not looking to add like a middle of the rotation guy, not a back of the rotation guy, but a middle of the rotation guy. And it doesn't seem like anything I'm reading from the Phillies writers, and I respect them because they do a good job of sort of ferreting, you know, information out. Doesn't seem, Bob, like they're worried about, like the Phillies aren't looking at this as a problem. I think it's a major problem.
Well, you come out of the World Series, and what do you say was the biggest downfall of the team? And that it's hard to say that because they so overdid expectations in this playoff run and getting to the World Series and getting to six games of the World Series. But if you look at it, it wasn't your shortstop play, even though that's what there is going to be their big signing this offseason. I love it. I love that they're going to bring either a Trey Turner or somebody else in here. But it was that you had 2.5 starting pitchers for almost the whole playoff series. Now, Ranger Suarez picked it up later on. But at the beginning of the playoffs, it was Wheeler, Nola, and you hope to get 4 or 5 innings out of Ranger Suarez. And that was it. And after that, it was, well, you know, a hope and a prayer. And it lasted them well for a while. But it came back to, you had a fourth starter in Houston. Houston just got so much better also with Abreu signing and playing first base for them. But
that's amazing, by the way.
Houston's number 4 pitcher threw a no-hitter against you. Think of that.
And
the Phillies didn't have a number 4 pitcher.
And the Phillies don't seem like they've got any kind of desire to address this.
I think they will, and I'm going to bring this up a little bit later. I think Dombrowski is in an all-in mode. That was tough to say. Is in an all-in mode.
Okay.
I do think they're going to – I think there's no doubt. And, Pat, I think you'll agree with me. There's no doubt they're signing a shortstop.
127%.
Everybody's in on it. When Jason Stark says
– when rival agents like Buster Olney tweeted out a quote from a well-known agent He wasn't naming a source, but the agent basically said, yeah, Philly's getting one of the top four guys.
Yeah, and I believe it will happen. I believe it's going to happen during the winter meetings.
And I think
next weekend, next week we'll be talking about it.
I hope so. I really don't want this going to the end of February. I think they are going to get a pitcher. I think they're going to do both.
So you do? Really?
I do. I think they're going to do both. Now, maybe it's not the biggest name, but it'll be a guy that we'll talk about.
Are you talking about a guy who could be a third starter?
It's going to be a guy that we're going to put in the mix of being in the top three, yes.
Okay, that is fantastic news then. Because
I might not be right.
No, but I mean, that would be fantastic news if that happened.
Oh, it would be. Absolutely.
Because I believe it's ridiculous if people think, yeah, they don't need to address this.
No, it's not even close to discussion. You came out of this playoffs. Yes, you got no hit. And yes, at times your bats were bad. And yeah, you had Schwarber leading off, and we can debate that, and the number two hole hitter and Hoskins and all. Your lineup is a little bit flawed that way. No question. But your biggest problem coming out of not winning that series was not having any other starting pitchers after 2.5. I mean, that was the biggest thing. As I just said it, your number four pitcher for the champions threw a no-hitter against you in the World Series. You went in hoping to get four, maybe five innings out of your third starter, the Phillies. And then it was, well, hopefully he can bounce back on maybe 3 days rest, 4 days rest.
Maybe Syndergaard can start for you.
Exactly.
And all stuff. I mean... And by the way, Noah Syndergaard did his job. He won't be back, but he did his job.
He did his job. Suarez did his job.
Suarez is fantastic. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but once you got past Wheeler and Nola, as good as Suarez was, you used him in a bullpen. You knew you were only getting him for 4 or 5 innings another game. It wasn't that true. Okay, he's going to get you 6 or 7. Here we go.
And it seems as if the Phillies writers, again, who I greatly respect because they've done a solid job with it, it seems like they all expect, Pat, that Aaron Nola is going to get an extension.
I would think so. I mean, he has been really, really consistent in terms of his just Phillies career. When he's good, he's really, really good. And he looked like an ace last year, for sure. Somebody
for a lot of the time he did, yep.
But I do wonder if they're becoming a place where a guy like Syndergaard, who is kind of reaching the end of his career a little bit, is still effective, isn't at the point where he's kind of bouncing around, taking minor league contracts.
Right.
But knows that he can contribute. I wonder if a guy like that is more inclined to sign now with Philly because they look at Philly as a place that they can win.
There you go.
And
might happen.
With Syndergaard, real quick, he's at that point where Tommy John surgery really starts to kick in. Now, whether it's going to with him or not, I don't know. But it's usually, and we saw it with Wheeler, 2-3 years after you get it done is when, I've read stories on this, is when pitchers really start feeling up the strength. If that's the case and he can find 2 more miles an hour on his fastball, maybe.
A full starter, I'd be fine with it.
Pat, I think you're right on some because I don't think he'd be that expensive.
Let's hope not. He made, what, $20 million last year, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the Angels overpaying.
What do you tell me?
They figured that if he hit, then they could flip him at the deadline, which they did.
What are you thinking, $12 million?
I would think, 15, I would think like $14.
Okay, I might consider
it. It'll be interesting to see what he gets, though.
It will be. We're going to take a quiz in the next half hour.
Oh, man.
We'll see if Bob and Pat know a lot of stuff. And you can
smart.
And you can play along, too. Plus, the Cowboys Media Corps is already doing the math, and they're realizing something that I've been telling you for a while. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I know this. Everybody's getting excited about Saturday morning, the USA versus the Netherlands. And you can wager on it on the Bet Parks app. And don't forget, you've got championship weekend coming in college football. It's going to be awesome. The SEC title game is 17.5-point spread. That seems ridiculous to me. That Georgia's given 17.5 to LSU, I'd feel a little bit cautious on that one right there. Eagles holding as a 5-point favorite, 5.5. It seems like that number going up and down. I know this. You can use the Bet Parks app. It's safe. It's secure. It's easy to use. They got all kind of odds boost and everything to constantly give you an opportunity to make yourself more cash. And the live in-game wagering, it's second to none. New users can get up to $750 in sportsbook bonus back if your first bet's not a winner. Go to betparks.com. They've got all the terms and conditions for you. individual player performances, and more. You got to be 21 and you must be present in Pennsylvania or Jersey. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Pat, are you cramming for your test? Or did you, like, were you the guy, like, did you stay up late the night before a test, or did you just roll
Absolutely
in?
Absolutely not.
You took your shot? You just took your shot at the best you could do it?
Yeah, rarely, rarely studied.
Bob, were you a crammer? Like stay up late the night before a test?
Kinda, yeah. I'm a last minute guy. Like I told you before, I like writing on deadline better than having weeks to do stories. So I was more of a crammer, just ask people if they already took the test and they knew the answers. Stuff like that.
Liv has a college professor in her first semester of college. And she said, Dad, you're never going to believe this. I said, what? She said, the professor lets us bring in one index card. We can have whatever we want written on it.
Mm.
To the exam. She said, yeah. I didn't have a teacher in grade school or high school that let me do this. And I'm allowed to do it at college.
So say thank you and keep it moving.
Yeah, but it's what are you doing with? You can bring an index card in with stuff written on it. You can write small. I've seen you write.
Yeah.
You can write like microscopic.
I don't see a problem with this.
Because then what are you learning?
Can I ask you an honest question?
Yeah.
What did you get out of college?
Oh, incredible. Incredible opportunity.
No, not opportunity.
And knowledge.
Learning.
No, I did. I got a lot of
classes. Did you take where you look back now and go, that class was worth my time?
All right, if I take,
I can think of two.
If I take it out of my major,
No,
because my major, I absolutely thought were fantastic classes.
No, I'm looking
okay.
At
so
the
you're taking it outside
of college. All right. I can think of including my major, three classes maybe, where I look back and I go, that was worth my time.
How many did you take in the business school? I took four.
Zero.
And every single, well, I took four in the business school. And I absolutely think every one of them helped me. Marketing, statistics and statistics for business.
But you went into business.
Yeah, I did. I went into business, but my major was in, I went into communications.
Yeah, but.
But I wanted to have that. Business. I wanted to have that business background and I loved it. Like, I should have learned that. But a lot of the other classes, like sociology was one of my favorites, and I definitely learned that.
I like sociology.
Dr. Clark White was one of the best.
No, I didn't need it.
I did need it, Pat.
Yeah, I didn't need it.
It's funny what you say, and I'll never forget this. We were in, had to be sixth or seventh grade, and we had a teacher that said to us, she goes, look, college might not be for everybody, but in this day and age, you know, back then, you should go to college. And she said, because it's not so much exactly what you learn in college, or it's to show your future employer that you were able to do it.
That's not bad either.
You know, and
you were dedicated enough, right?
Yeah, I mean, that you just had to have the discipline to get through and do everything you need to get through. And why is my microphone going
on? I don't know. You didn't need sociology, though, Pat? Like, you didn't feel like you needed it?
No.
I needed it because I had grown up in an area where everybody looked like me. Everybody came from a background like me. Now, we came from a very sort of middle-class, white suburbia background in Broomall. I needed it because I had to learn, oh, wait a minute. The people in my classroom, they have different opinions about the world and different backgrounds. I loved it. And I
liked it. I liked it a lot.
I needed that,
I didn't
though.
Need it. I mean, I think when I graduated Doherty, we had 20 countries.
See, you had a different...
At Doherty, and
you had a different experience than I had.
Yeah, I lived in Alany and then Havertown and Oxford Circle. So, like, I didn't need it.
Did you find Havertown that diverse?
No, that's what I'm saying.
I went,
you go from Alany to
Havertown.
Right,
exactly, yeah. You understand, Broomall was, I felt like I was, and then I'm learning about, well, wait a minute. Not everybody had mom and dad in the house. Not everybody had a background where mom and dad made, and hearing about issues and social issues. And we had a great professor. This guy, Dr. Clark White, was the best, maybe one of the best professors I've ever had. And he was so funny. He played hoops with Magic Johnson. At Michigan State, I think he played basketball.
Okay.
He may have been a basketball player there because he was around 6'8". And he was a great professor. I think he went on to Morehouse after leaving Temple, but I'm not sure where he is now.
Yeah,
But I mean, taking an index card into the exam?
I mean, what class is it?
I can't do that because I can't expose the professor. No, I can't expose the professor. But it is not something in her major.
Yeah, then it wasn't. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just like,
everything that wasn't in my major. I didn't care.
Yeah.
I was just like, just give me a C.
Hey, Pets Plus Natural has 6 area locations. There's a Pets Plus Natural near you with a dog or cat looking for a forever home. Adopt instead. Visit PetsPlusNatural.com. We have a test you can all take along with us, and I'm going to make Connor take it too. That way we can see if Connor is, because he's quite smart. And after his SAT score the other day.
He's in a bad way.
I know. He's had a tough week.
I'm feeling for him.
This will make him smile.
Yeah.
Hey, the Cowboys Media Corps is already doing their Sports Illustrated has their Fan Nation. And Richie Witt covers the Cowboys for Fan Nation, which is the SI arm of the Cowboys coverage. And they already are doing the math. And there's a piece yesterday, and I linked to it. You can find it on the Fan Nation site. The Cowboys have figured it out that unless the Eagles lose it, they can't win it. That the only way they have a chance to win the division is if they beat the Eagles and then the Eagles lose one or two other games to help them open the door. That this week's game, you know, is another one that they're like, okay, well, the Titans could maybe upset the Eagles. They've already figured out. They write a very detailed piece saying, yeah, the Cowboys can go out and they can beat the Eagles on Christmas Eve, but it's not going to matter. Because already, too, they're losing without somebody else beating them. They're counting on the Giants or the Bears to beat them. Because even if the Cowboys beat the Eagles, they're going to be even with the 1-1 for the series, for the season. And then if they end up, then they go to the NFC record. And right now the Eagles have one loss in the conference. Cowboys have three. So this writer does a detailed thing saying, look, it could be great to beat the Eagles on Christmas Eve. But great doesn't look like it'll be good enough unless they go and get help. They need one of the Giants games to go their way or the Bears game to go their way. I don't believe
so.
One of those
Cowboys are 8-3. The Eagles are 10-1. And somebody had to sit in a room and do calculations to say the Eagles need to lose a couple of games and the Cowboys.
No, he's saying as if he's saying unless
catch up to the Eagles.
Yeah, but it has
probably
to be.
Didn't take statistics class.
But it's got to be an. it has to be an NFC loss.
Yeah,
it has to be one of the Giant games or the Bears game. They can't lose or the Saints coming in here. And this is just guys like, look, we're going to have to beat them in the playoffs. That's really is the culmination of his piece. And he has video with it. We're going to have to beat them in the playoffs. That's the only way we're going to beat them.
Yeah.
Beat them out is go to Philly and beat them.
It's probably going to come down to that. Now, this early, you've only played 11 games. You still have 6 to go. That's an awful lot. So many things
like
can happen.
Like a bad injury or something like that.
Oh, God, yeah. It takes one play for your season to get turned upside down.
And it's December. Do you think we're going to see the December Cowboys? I asked Adam yesterday.
Yeah, he said happy December.
Do you think we're going to see the Cowboys trip up in a game that nobody expects them to trip up in? Because that has been their MO every December.
I don't know. They have a lot of the same players in place. They have a head coach that I don't think anybody's going to go to be the head of the class of a professor of how to coach NFL football. Would you expect it to be likely? Probably, but that's the fascinating thing about sports. These Cowboys could reel off 6 straight wins and look like world beaters. And who knows? You just got to ride
know,
it out.
Right?
You don't. I get so scared looking, not scared, but I'm so leery of looking so far ahead without knowing what could happen. And it's almost like walking on eggshells every week. Although I don't like the word cautious in sports.
Yes.
You just want to win every week and get out of there with a fresh injury report.
Hey, in Cooney's Corner, there was a name thrown out there yesterday in baseball circles that had him intrigued.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
And I can't find it. Somebody had it on Twitter, and it was a respected baseball person that just threw out that the Phillies were one of the teams checking in on Jacob DeGrom.
What?
And I was like, wow. Is that? And in the same sentence, it said, but that doesn't deter them from getting one of the 4 stars at shortstop. So looking to do both. And I was
How much could they spend?
Wait a minute. Well, who cares? I mean,
I understand.
I'm not being mean. To go to Jamie's line, it's not our money. Thanks.
Well, Jamie always wants to spend other people's money.
So somebody's kind of thinking that the Phillies might be going all in that way.
Wow.
There's no doubt, as Pat said, 110%. They're getting one of those four shortstops. Are they also looking to bring in a top pitcher also?
I'd love to think that they are. I don't believe it.
I find it really hard to believe. But Pat and Money and Jacob DeGrom, all in, or do you have any hesitations?
Oh, massive hesitations. Yeah. That dude's elbow is held on by a string and duct tape, but he's the best in the game.
What would you do if one morning you woke up and you checked out your iPhone after you put on your glasses, Pat? Your broken ones.
No, actually, I'm nearsighted.
Oh, so you're nearsighted.
So I knew I wouldn't
even
need
us at all.
So it'd be the drive to work. What if you put on the radio and found out that the Phillies signed Jacob DeGrom overnight? What would be your initial reaction?
My initial reaction would be, then they're not getting one of the shortstops, and that was dumb. But it's a lot like the Cam Jurgens pick when they passed on to Kobe Dean. I've talked about the fact that I was pissed when they drafted Cam Jurgens, not based on Cam Jurgens the player, but because I didn't think they needed that position, and they passed on to Kobe Dean. If you sign Jacob DeGrom, then the next day you announce that you signed one of the top four shortstops, then we're partying.
Okay, well, that's
like they took the money and they allocated it for the pitcher because you're not going to get both.
Yeah, that's why I came up with this, because in the same sentence it did say that they are going to get one of the four-star shortstops.
Everybody's saying that,
but
right?
I would still think, like last year, I wanted Castellanos over Schwarber.
So did I.
And when they signed Schwarber, I was like, damn, well, they're not going to get Castellanos. And then they ended up getting both, so, hey, no harm, no foul. It's great, and, you know, I was wrong about that, obviously. But even with the reports that they're going to get one of the top four, if they signed Jacob DeGrom, I would assume, okay, they're probably out on one of the four, and you're going to get a five below version of Dansby Swanson.
Dude. Wow. He called your boy five below.
No, I said a version. So, not meaning that they would sign Dansby.
Version of Dansby. So, you're saying a great flow, but not great talent.
Yeah, like.
There we go.
I can't think of it right now, but you know.
I'm hoping that it is, too. By the way, one thing interesting, MLB Network, yesterday I was watching around dinner time. Is it Gene Segura and the Phillies is not out? A return to the Phillies that I guess Gene Segura, they have told him, see what the market's like, because we may revisit this. So stick around. I don't know how they would do that, because where would Bryson Stott go?
Yeah, he's a second year player. There's no guarantee that Bryson Stott is going to be, a 260, 270 with a great glove. He could have that sophomore slump. He could fall off the deep end maybe a little bit. And imagine if you had a Gene Segura just waiting in the wings.
Yeah, and it's not done yet. I guess they're waiting to see what the what's the deal you can get, Gene, and we may revisit.
Yeah, and the one little thing I wanted to get to just to finish this up is in the DeGrom thing. What it did make me think of was, oh, man, they're going to get one of the shortstops. And maybe they are going to go after a Rodon or something like that. Maybe they are going to go after another a top-tier guy that's going to surprise us, because our thinking's going to be, okay, you get a shortstop, maybe you can get a couple bullpen guys or whatever. I wonder if they might go two really big signings again this year.
There you go. That would be amazing. But I expect by next Friday's show, next Thursday, the winter meetings will be over. So I think by a week from today, there will be a major name join the Phillies.
I don't.
So you don't. You don't think that's going to happen.
No, I think the players are going to drag it out. I think the teams are, all right, are you going to sign? Or are you going to sign? You got Spider-Mans there. They're facing each other ready to give it up. But I don't think so. I just think this is going to last for a while.
We're going to have a little quiz now, Pat, on the Netherlands. Because I absolutely, one of the things that when we watch Jeopardy, I laugh because if I see geography as a category or something like that, I am 0-for-5 in the category almost every single time. Really bad. How much do you know about the Netherlands, Bob?
Nothing.
And Connor, if you want to join us, you can. Do you know, Pat, much about the Netherlands?
I know former MLB pitcher Rick Vandenhurk and Sidney Ponson pitched for him.
That's pretty good.
I didn't know Sidney Ponson.
He pitched for them in the World Baseball Classic.
Really?
So I don't know if he's from there or if he's just Dutch.
Connor's pretty smart about this. Okay, why? I'm going to ask you a question and see if you know about it. Bob, I'll ask you the first one.
All right.
Is the Netherlands Holland, and is Holland the Netherlands?
It's informally Holland, if I'm not mistaken.
They hate it when you say Holland. They hate it.
But it's
Holland
correct.
Is part of the Netherlands, but right. It's not correct, though. Holland is two provinces of the 12 that make up the Netherlands. They get pissed that people just associate it with Holland, because Holland is spectacular.
They have the Days sauce, right?
Yes, they do. Holland Days sauce. Yeah. Wow. Pat.
I know stuff.
Pat, did you know, why do they refer to the Netherlands as Manhattan?
I don't know.
Because it is the most highest population density in Europe. Connor's nodding his head. Did you know that?
I knew they were the highest. I didn't know why they called them Manhattan, but I knew they were the highest density.
They are the highest population density. People live on top of each other.
Packed up there.
It's packed.
A lot of good looking people there too.
And well, we're gonna have more of that coming up. Why do they call the Netherlands the New Orleans of Europe, Connor?
Whew. Well, I think the most beer distributed anywhere in Europe? They have a bunch of beer come out of there.
But why would there be New Orleans?
Party town. Maybe they consume the most.
You think so?
Capital's Amsterdam.
Is there a French connection?
No. Okay. It is because it is the lowest lying country in Europe below sea level.
Oh, there you go.
It is 26% of the Netherlands is below sea level. That's ridiculous. I mean, they better hope the big one doesn't come. Bob, I got to ask you something.
What was that?
They better hope that it doesn't come.
Pat, 748 to the east. Thank you.
The Dutch tend to be a country that is very, very healthy. Can you give me one of the reasons why they are considered one of the healthiest countries?
I think I know this.
You do?
Does it have something to do with the sun?
It does not.
No one really owns a car. Everybody bikes around there. And actually, they're overflooded with bicycles.
Pat, you're really good because you took another question there. There are more bicycles in the Netherlands than people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people...
They have a barge where... They don't use the barge to ship around people. They use it to hold bicycles.
They walk everywhere. People walk everywhere and bike everywhere in the Netherlands. The Dutch are the healthiest people in the world, according to diet. They are the second largest exporter of vegetables in the world. They are the country where people eat the most vegetables per day in their diet. And they rank number one of having the most plentiful, nutritious, healthy, and affordable food in the world.
Hmm.
The Netherlands. I wouldn't have known that.
Sounds like a nice place so far.
Yeah, it really does.
It seems really enjoyable.
Connor, you'd like this one too.
How's the Wi-Fi there?
What percentage of Dutch people play sports on a weekly basis?
Ooh.
Give me a number here as far as...
Probably put it like 84%.
Oh, that's pretty high. Number one in the world...
Does bicycling count as a sport?
I don't know, but Dutch are the most physically active population in Europe, and the country where the most percentage of people say they identify that they play sports on a weekly basis.
Well,
that's weird to me.
Wow, it's going to suck when they lose to the USA in soccer.
You think they'd have way more professional athletes?
I would think so too. What percentage of the population, Bob, do you believe is native? And what percentage of the population do you believe is foreign born?
I think it's mostly native. I'm going to go 65% native.
80% native.
Oh.
So what, one in five then?
One out of five people is foreign born. So the Netherlands is a country of people who are born there and stay there.
Yeah, I got a feeling Norway, Sweden, and the Netherlands. I got a feeling you don't leave. Seems very enjoyable.
Why would you? Right, Pat?
Yeah, all three.
Right, why would you?
The Dutch are the tallest nation in the world.
I'm out.
So you knew this already?
Yeah, I knew they were tall.
They're the tallest in the whole world.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Ducks. They're tall and they got windmills.
That pitcher Rick Vandenhurk I talked about, he was massive. He was like 6'8".
I mean, it's incredible. That to me, this is a, they're the tallest people. Why are they not better at basketball?
If only I was born in the Netherlands.
Well, it's average height.
Yeah, but I mean, why are they not better at basketball?
Well, if they're all like 6'2", they got no one to play center. But they're going to be the tallest nation because they got no like 5'1 person.
Dutch men are the tallest globally, standing an average of 182.53 centimeters. How about that? And overall, the average Dutch person is 175.6 centimeters. Their women are also the tallest in the world.
Why are we going with centimeter? Just give me a...
Well, don't even ask me about that.
Yeah, I need like the height here. I need like the 5 foot.
The women are 6 feet and the men are 6'4".
Connor, what's the number one...
Like a tree.
What's the number one souvenir gift that they sell every year in the Netherlands that travelers from foreign countries take home?
This is so easy because we had these in my house growing up.
You did?
Yes. Because my my parents were over in Germany. My dad was stationed there in the Air Force. So they traveled around Europe. It's the wooden clocks.
It's got the wooden clocks.
Exactly. Yeah.
6 million
we had a
year.
Yes. Used to wear them when I was a kid.
Did you really? Yeah, you clomp around the house?
Yeah, those things are awful. Yeah, ruined the floors.
Oh my gosh.
Why would you buy those?
Okay, what?
You didn't.
What is the number one export other than vegetables from the Netherlands? And by the way, it is the number one export to the world. They're number one. Other than vegetables, this is the number one export from the Netherlands, and this puts them number one in the world. I had no idea about this.
I don't know.
80%
of the world's
flower bulbs.
Oh, flower that makes sense.
Bulbs. Come on, from the Netherlands.
You were going to say light bulbs.
Makes sense.
And by the way, I did not know this either. One of my favorite things in that, and if I am going to have an adult beverage. Gin was invented by the Dutch. I never knew gin was from the Dutch.
So they gave it to the British.
And they did. The Brits introduced it. The Dutch created it.
Okay. Really?
Gin was invented by the Dutch.
They need to hire you for the tourism bureau because I want to go there. Yeah.
I do too. I'd like to.
Amsterdam?
After seeing it, I think I'd like to see it.
So when did all of them come over to create the Pennsylvania Dutch?
Well, no, the Pennsylvania Dutch are German. Aren't they? I don't know. I tell you, geography, you always say you're good with it.
Yeah, Netherlands right in between, what, Belgium and, I guess, northern part of Germany? Yeah.
I do love geography.
When I see that on Jeopardy, I'm out.
You got Denmark up kind of to the top if you're looking at it.
Yeah, I'm screwed.
I'm out. Like I see
Northwestern.
When they announce the categories, I'm like, okay, I'm out on that one.
Yeah, you can go.
Good job. Now you know about the Netherlands. You learn a little bit today. Good job. That comes up Saturday morning. Bob, breakfast with Santa before the Netherlands match, or are we finding out?
I don't know. I don't have the details yet. I'll check into it.
Santa would want to see this match.
Yeah.
Santa wants to see the match. The hell with that. Santa wants to see it himself.
I'm seeing something about maybe 8:30-ish. So if that's the case,
might get there.
Because it doesn't start till 10, right?
Hurry up. Eat your bacon. Eat your bacon. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, how special teams can sink a season. I have a refresher course for you coming up. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. If you haven't checked your furnace, you got to get ready for another long winter. And H&H Heating and Air Conditioning, my friends at DelcoHVAC.com, want you to schedule a tune-up today, and they're only going to charge you $59 for it. It's a $59 gas furnace tune-up that includes a carbon monoxide safety check. So that way, you get your system checked out now, they troubleshoot it, they make sure that it's ready for the brutal winter that's coming, and you're not going to have a surprise come the Christmas holidays. If you end up needing a new system, Delco HVAC has rebates of up to $1,500 and 0% financing for 18 months if you're a qualified buyer. When you own a home, you got to have Delco HVAC on speed dial. You got to know you can count on these people. They are absolutely fantastic. So have your system maintained and checked out today. Go to DelcoHVAC.com, schedule that tune-up, or get that new system today. That's DelcoHVAC.com, H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. Tell them that Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Our 8 a.m. sponsor is Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. We will start spinning the holiday wheel the week of December the 12th. We'll start calling names. 8 o'clock on our show, noon with Anthony, 4 o'clock with the best show ever. We'll spin the holiday wheel three times a day starting the week of the 12th. You want to win fabulous prizes? It's presented by Rally House, so every wheel spinner is automatically going to receive a $50 Rally House gift card. Rally House, your city, it's your city, it's your house, Bob. It's your Rally House.
That is correct.
So shut your mouth.
No.
And go
enough.
To Rally House.
No singing.
Register for the holiday wheel right now. That wasn't singing. That was,
you were getting ready to break into tune. I could tell.
I was getting ready.
Yeah.
I was getting ready, but I did not.
I've lived it.
You've lived it.
Yes.
You have lived it.
Yeah.
Yes, you have absolutely lived it. You've lived this too, Bob. You've lived how special teams can sink a season.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't remember this until I believe it was Jeff McClain in a piece from a couple weeks ago talking about the way that special teams can sink a season and how this needs to improve. So I got a little history lesson for you. Do you remember that Saturday night? I remember you remember the game. Saturday night, Nick Foles, Chip Kelly taking on the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees.
Sure do.
In the wild card game.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Eagles take the lead 24-23 with less than 5 minutes to go in the game. They take the lead after coming back from two touchdowns down. They managed to get the lead. Do you remember what happened next on the next play right after they take the lead?
Did they give up a long return?
Let's listen to it. We can hear it right now. It's bad memory, but let's hear it.
Zach Ertz, the rookie out of Stanford, he's into the end zone. The PAT gives the Eagles the one-point lead. But on the ensuing kickoff, Darren Sproles. So dangerous, so explosive, and then tack on 15 with a horse collar by Terry Williams.
That's right.
Now you're talking about just needing a few first downs. You're in field goal range.
There it is.
Third and one.
That's all we need. Darren Sproles took it to the 39-yard line. Then a 15-yard penalty, also on special teams, put the Saints in Eagles territory where they bled out the clock and kicked with the time running out and kicked the game-winning field goal with time running out. The Eagles had mounted this incredible comeback. They had the lead, and special teams sunk their season. Last year, the Green Bay Packers were the number one seed at home. And Pat, it's something we talk about. We don't trust, like, you're not worried about Jimmy Garoppolo and that offense coming in because you know they're not going to put up 35. So you know it's not going to be an amazing offensive performance by the 49ers. Packers are winning 10-3 with less than 5 minutes to go in the game. And then this happened as they lined up to punt.
And that's 5 sacks for this defense in each of the last 3 games. Away from a tie game.
There it was. They tied the game. They had dominated the 49ers all night long. Just absolutely crushed them. And then the 49ers block a punt deep in their own territory and tie the game and then end up winning the game after that point. Rodney Harrison was asked afterwards about it. And it's something that I think sort of echoes what I believe about these special teams problems the Eagles are having right now. And Rodney Harrison talked about, where do you point the finger when special teams suck?
I'm blaming Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur is the head coach. And whenever your head coach comes in and he says special teams is a priority, special teams is just as important of offense and defense. When he comes in and he says that, he makes it a priority to be good on special teams, then you know you're going to have good special teams. And he never made that a priority. And it came back and it bit him in the butt. And they lost games. When we were there, they had terrible special teams, but Aaron Rodgers was so good that they were able to overcome it. But in times that the offense is struggling, you need those special teams. And that's Matt LaFleur's fault. He should have nipped that in the bud. As far as the coach, you remove him. You replace him. You do whatever you have to do to bring them special teams up to par.
The head coach is to blame. The head coach needs to make sure this gets fixed because it sinks teams and it is important. So I went back and I did a word search on Nick Sirianni. They rarely talk about special teams. They rarely, like, it's not, it has obviously never been made a priority. The Eagles have a special teams situation where their special teams coach is, and I just tried to run a comparison across the way, Michael Clay. He is easily the most inexperienced special teams coach in the NFL. And I know that this young coaching staff is doing a freaking great job. What Nick Sirianni put together is a great, they're a young coaching staff. They were the youngest staff in the NFL last year, the youngest staff again this year. But Michael Clay is the most inexperienced. Just going up and going, oh, well, what does Tampa have? What does, and to me, this is something Nick Sirianni has to take charge of and say, and I'm not talking about firing Michael Clay. Now, you heard Rodney Harrison say, he got rid of the guy. That was the end of the season right. He was referring to. You need an experienced special teams coach. Andy Reid knew this. Andy Reid had this, and you need somebody that has some sort of pedigree, and it's costing them. And it could cost the Eagles at the worst time possible.
So how are special teams looked at now is what I wonder. Now, your field goal kicking unit, yeah, that has to be on point. And it is. For the most part, it is. Jake Elliott has been fine.
Oh, Jake's
I'm
yeah,
all
Jake,
right there.
Everybody's pretty cool with Jake.
Everybody's okay. If you come in as a head coach and you see that, your snapper's good, your holder's good, your kicker's good, now it goes to, do we really need a return game? Do we have to get somebody that can put us in great field position if we have a chance to return a punt? Or is it more of a case, I got to shore up this offense and defense. I just need a special teams that doesn't hurt me. I think more times than not, if coaches are being honest, I need a special teams that doesn't hurt us is probably what they're thinking, right? And it's a fine line in between. Now, all of a sudden, Jake Elliott can't kick the ball out of the end zone. And the return team has to make tackles and has to make plays. And they're not doing it. And you don't have a return guy that can give you positiveness. You have a return guy on punts that weighs the sand in the air and catches it. And you have a return guy in Boston Scott on kickoffs that, on the rare occasion it's not kicked out of the end zone, can get you maybe 20, 25 yards. It's become something that's not good. But like I said, I think it's easily fixable. Get a guy that can kick the ball out of the end zone. More than half of your problems on special teams is fixed.
Andy Reid would occasionally put starters on special teams. Not all the time, but he would occasionally throw starters in there if things weren't going well. By the way, he still does that in Kansas City. So I'm just bouncing around. He will occasionally throw starters. No, he's not putting his stars.
Malcolm Jenkins played special teams for the Eagles right up until he left here.
I don't understand why special teams is like, people are like, well, you can't put starters on special teams. Sure as hell you can.
I mean, you can. Yeah,
you're getting gouged like that the other night,
I'm not risking it.
They just kept doing what they were doing the other night.
Yeah.
They gave up three.
Not risking it. Me neither.
You're not?
In the playoffs, maybe, but I'm not risking it regular season.
And I don't know. I mean, can I just say to all right, let's pick a guy, John. Can I just say to a Marcus Epps or a Bradbury and say, all right, get out there and you're going to be in the seventh slot and get down there and cover a kick.
No, but you could this week. You could this week in preparation for the game. You can. Absolutely you can. And most of these guys have played special teams at one point in their career, whether it's college or otherwise. They played on special teams. You can absolutely
teach guys.
They've
been the stars of stars of every team they played on. I've often wondered about that.
Could they, like, how could they do it? There's one thing is, if Andy Reid can put starters on special teams, then I think Nick Sirianni could. If Doug Peterson could put starters on special teams, I absolutely believe Nick Sirianni could. And when you're being gouged like you're doing, and you arguably have like the worst kickoff coverage in the league, I think at some point you got to think about it. And I know, Pat, it's nerve wracking. That do you think the same way about like a punt return? Like you don't want Devontae out there?
No,
doing punt returns
in case of emergency break glass. That's the way I look at it. I'm not having him out there. If you don't desperately need it. And even the miracle of the Meadowlands with Deshaun, he wasn't out there, I don't believe, every single punt.
No. He wasn't.
It was a in case of emergency situation because he was kind of built a lot like Devontae, where very talented, but you know, he's a twig. So I'm only using that in a desperate situation.
So you really don't want that?
I don't know.
I'm tired of seeing it.
So I'm just because I grabbed this, it was in my notes, and my other stuff's in my bag. But here's your special teams guys. It looks like that are covering kicks for the Eagles. You have Zach Pascal. You have Marcus Epps is there on 10% of them, so he must be covering kicks or punts.
Every once in a while, it's punts. No, it's punts with Marcus Epps, I believe.
Yeah, Johnson, the backup linebacker, is doing both. Blankenship is out there. Now that could change now that he's starting. McPherson's out there. How do you say this guy's name? Shashere? N'Kobe Dean's out there. Sean Bradley, who almost made the Pro Bowl last year as a special teamer. Did he make it or not? He may have. I'm not positive. But anyway, he's out there also.
I mean, this is...
Kayvon Wallace. You're talking to Johnson, backup linebacker. You're talking about, second string guys. There's not really any starters out there.
Yeah, and again, if you're going to invest heavily in your starters and some of your backups, you're not going to have the money to. You're going to be going with bargain basement guys. The Eagles special teams, if you look at the contracts, so I just pulled up a bunch of the contracts. They have a lot of minimum contract guys, Pat. And so a lot of times you get the minimum contract guys, you get the minimum talent.
I don't look at it like that.
Bob's throwing his mug on the floor.
Special teams is primarily going to be made up of rookies.
These special teams.
He's so mad. I think if you probably look at a lot of team special teams, they're probably minimum contract guys because they're rookies or they're on the rookie deal or they're undrafted free agents. And then you're going to have a specialist in there that you'll pay. Like in 2017, they had Brian Braman.
Back in the day, you had an Ike Reese.
Yes, exactly.
Somebody like Ike.
Yeah.
Who was still getting snaps on the thing, but he could do that. Whatever happened to that young kid, Ike Reese? He's so awesome.
You know, I think he's doing esports now.
I think he might be.
Yeah, he's big in the Rocket League.
Love that guy. He's a good dude. So it's just an interesting thing. And a lot of teams are doing, but they're doing better at covering kicks than the Eagles are. Nick Sirianni, that should be a number one priority. For whatever needs to be done, it's got to be the number one priority.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how. Yeah, I like I said, it's not just 50% of the problem, get a kicker to kick it out of the end zone.
No,
I think
it's not.
You take away all of that if you get, and then the putting thing, how many punts do we see returned anymore? If you punt four or five times a game, I think you only see one or two returned. So it doesn't seem like it should be that hard of a fix.
Provolone Joe makes a point on Twitter, in every program at every level, special teams gets the least amount of practice time.
Sure.
Of course it does. To make matters worse, kick and kick returns, punt and punt return is even less than a field goal. And you add in an inexperienced coaching staff and it's a disaster. And right now, Michael Clay is not, the resume is very, very soft.
Yeah, think about it, though. If you get six kickoffs a game out of Jake Elliott, and he can put four of them out of the end zone, the NFL average, you're only asking twice for these guys to cover. And I don't know if it's the ankle, whatever it may be, but as I said,
and it's been declining the last three games.
And it's going to get worse because teams now have a book on you, and they're going to return it. If it's not out of the end zone, they're returning.
And it's getting colder.
I know it's not good right now. I'm not.
Thank you, Pat, for that analysis.
I do want to just take a step back and remind people that it is week 13 now.
Okay,
11, 12, or 13. And our big complaint is special teams.
That is correct.
That's like it's incredible that we're not complaining about a defense or an offense. We're complaining about it's a good spot to be in. Is my point.
It is a very good spot.
So special teams sucks right now. Just take a step back and realize it can always be worse.
Bill Morris on our YouTube page has a good idea. He goes, hell, Jalen Hurts does everything else. Let him return kicks also.
No, Bill, stop it. Hey, Free Coffee Tuesday is back for Wawa Rewards members. Every Tuesday, Wawa Reward members get a free any size coffee. Got to have a Wawa. Coach is here. Good to have Coach in the house. Coach, you just want to come out firing like yesterday?
No.
And then you want to like...
Yeah, go ahead. Why don't you pick on John again?
You got 2x4 about something? I know you were listening.
A lot more relaxed today.
On the way in, you are?
Yeah, I was listening on the way in.
And the
your quiz on the Netherlands was great, very informative.
I knew nothing about the Netherlands. I guess I just never listened in any kind of like geography or.
It's a beautiful country, right?
It looks gorgeous. It looks absolutely amazing. But I don't know what you would do there. I know what people do in Amsterdam. I know a lot of people go to Amsterdam.
There's some partying going on there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
I believe in the Netherlands, there are a lot of very tall, blonde women there, correct?
Tallest women, tallest men in the world.
Yeah.
And I know two couples that came back pregnant from Amsterdam. That actually...
Are they pretty random? With each other, right?
They got pregnant in Amsterdam. So it must have been a hell of a trip.
It's in the water over there, Pat.
Well, I don't think it's in... Pat, it's not in the water. It's in the ice cream, maybe?
No, it's in the absinthe, it's in the molly.
The women in the swings?
It's in the swings, yep, the certain swings, the latex.
My sister-in-law was pissed.
Why?
That she went to the Netherlands, she went to Amsterdam, and that there are naked women or barely covered women swinging on swings and doing things in all the windows.
Yeah,
and
why
she says
that upset her
because she said, "Where are the dudes?" You got to understand my sister in law. She's like, "Where are the dudes?"
All right,
she goes, "I want to say, why wouldn't there be? Why would?" And there were none, absolutely none. She goes, "It's not. It's like you're living in the dark ages. The women are out there showing it all off, but there were no like windows where the men were doing it." And she checked every window. I promise you that.
Pat, I think
was window shopping. Pat,
you'd be great at
it. Pat would be a superstar for one reason. You just said the men are what? You said
very tall,
6'4" average.
No. Like a 6'2" average.
Okay, even 6'2". The women over in the Netherlands are all used to very tall men, so that's what they're used to.
Pat comes
over there and wows them.
All of a sudden,
you'd be the standout guy.
5'5", you know, 5 foot 5 feet of them.
Uh-huh.
There you go,
climbing them like a tree.
Bob,
I stick out.
I see a huge advantage for the Sixers coming after the next two games they play in Memphis and Houston. The Sixers have an oddity. This is really, really weird. Coming up on Monday is the 5th of December. The 76ers will be home in their own beds. I would imagine they probably get back that night. They will be in their own beds until Christmas Eve. That is a long stretch, a 7-game homestand in December, and they will be in their own beds for 19 nights.
It's Mickey Mouse, John.
Because of the...
Disney on Ice.
Well, no, it's Encanto this year, Bob.
Oh, is it?
It's Encanto and something else. Pat, are you doing that this year?
Probably not.
Not going to do the Encanto?
No, we're doing something. I can't give it out.
Oh, okay. I didn't mean to do that to you.
Yeah, I mean, you're putting me in a hard spot.
Okay, but I don't think Jack's listening.
Yeah, he is.
Jack is listening?
Oh, he is. We are huge over at that school.
He taps the app. He listens every day. He's tapping the app. He's listening.
Yeah,
Jack Egan, would you please put that app away?
Yeah, can you put the show on YouTube?
Yes, please. I want to see Daddy. I never see him at home. I want to see him now.
He doesn't want to see me. He wants to see Bob.
He wants to see Uncle Bob.
Kid. Yeah, 7 straight home games.
That's weird, though. 19 games in a row at home. 19 days in a row, you will sleep in your own bed.
Yeah, it's
no days
so
off, then.
Odd.
I want to hear about 8 days off for players, then.
No, and the weird thing is, so they play at Houston on Monday. They don't play again until Friday.
It's weird. They get these huge gaps and all these back-to-backs.
And, you know, the Sixers coming in here and explaining to us about the goings-on of them renting at the Wells Fargo Center. It all has to do with that. Their weird schedule just has to do with that. And, you know, I knew it every year. You had guys that not only were on the team, but guys that worked for the team and all. They didn't spend a Christmas at home, and I didn't spend a Christmas at home, you know, for the 10 years or whatever. They haven't spent Christmas at home in forever.
It's amazing.
And it's tough. But those 7 games at home over a long stretch, that's fun. That's
good.
Well,
it just lets you get into a rhythm at home.
It does. And the good thing is usually on that Christmas break when they went away. It was usually a West Coast trip. It's not this time. They've already killed one West Coast trip, and they have another one coming up later in the season. So at least over the Christmas holidays, they're not They're going to L.A. What is this? December 23rd, they go to L.A. This is weird. They go to the 23rd out to L.A., then on the 25th, play at New York, and then it's Washington, New Orleans, Oklahoma City away.
That's a bad schedule.
This is a horrible schedule.
But you get 19 days at home, so a little bit.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Hey, game time's coming your way next. It's a Thursday morning. You've got your opportunity to win fabulous prizes. You can do game time. I know Pat's got it for you. 610-632-0975. Your chance to win fabulous prizes every single Thursday at this time. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I know that World Soccer Match Madness comes your way Saturday morning. You already learned about the Netherlands on the show this morning. Now learn about the Bet Park Sportsbook and Casino app. Last night, Bob warned me off the 76ers. Thank you, Bob. It's safe, secure, and easy to use. It's everything you could want in a digital casino and sportsbook. And yes, anytime I've got some time to kill, $1 blackjack certainly has me intrigued on that Bet Parks app, too. You know you can bet the birds every week. They're 5-point favorites this weekend. Bet all your favorite college teams, too. You got championship weekend right in front of you. I'm a little scared of that 17.5-point line with the dogs, but I do believe that if you want to go money line, Georgia's an easy, easy pick. New users can get up to $750 in sportsbook bonus back if your first bet's not a winner. You can get all the terms and conditions at betparks.com. Bet on individual player performances and more. Is A.J. Brown going to go off on the Titans? Bet it. Join me on the Bet Parks app now. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania or Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Black Friday Super Sale at Colonial Marble and Granite has been extended through Monday, December the 5th. You can save big on countertops, cabinetry, tile, flooring, and more. Visit colonialmarble.net. Gotta love it. John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It is Thursday morning at this time, which can only mean this.
It's Thursday morning at 8:30, which means game time. Today, we're playing sitcom trivia. Now, here's your master of ceremonies, a man who is Bart Simpson's long-lost brother, Pat Egan.
Where do you fall in the pecking order? Is he your older brother, younger brother? You and Bart?
Long-lost, but yeah.
Long-lost. What about Lisa?
I think I'm a little bit older.
Okay, you're a little bit older.
But the kid's been 9 years old for like 30.
He never changes.
So yeah, sitcom trivia, 610-632-0975 if you want to get in.
I'm
going to give you gentlemen a question, and the caller just has to agree or disagree with your answer.
Okay.
Obviously, it's on sitcoms. John, I know you know quite a bit about sitcoms. Prizes today, you get a case of Bud Light, you have a pair of tickets to Saturday's Flyers Devils game, you have a 4-pack of tickets for a special Temple basketball doubleheader.
Wow.
Yeah, ooh, Jerry and Marge Go Large on digital, which I enjoyed that movie, and then The Visitor on digital. So a lot of good prizes today, and we'll start off with Colin in Westchester.
What's up, Colin? How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Great to have you on the show. What's the question for Colin?
Colin, do you want to go with Bob or John?
Give me John.
John? Okay, John. Your question is, in the show Game of Thrones, who did Tyrion Lannister pick to fight on his behalf in a battle to the death with the Mountain?
I didn't know that was a sitcom.
Yeah, it's a sitcom. There's some jokes in there.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. I'm going to say that he...
That was funny. When he said, "I drink, I know things," that was funny.
I'm going to say that it was Jerry Seinfeld.
Colin, do you agree or disagree with that? That's a horrible guess.
Disagree with John on this one.
That was not the correct sitcom.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's embarrassing for you, John. The correct answer was the Red Viper, a.k.a. Oberon Martell. But Oberon, in your lack of knowledge, just gave Colin a case of Bud Light.
Good job, Colin.
Saturday, December 10th from 7 to 9 p.m. for the Bud Light Saturday game night at Casey's Place in Quakertown.
People love those.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I've got your chance to win Eagles-Saints tickets courtesy of Bud Light. And then we'll also have more prizes as well. Let's go to John in the Northeast.
Hi, Johnny.
What do you say, guys?
All right, John, I'm going to give you Bob for this one, okay?
Love Bobby.
He's all right.
Thank you, John.
Bob, love your guys. Question is, how does George Costanza's fiance Susan die on Seinfeld?
John, I'm going to say she was licking envelopes.
Do you agree or disagree with that guess?
I want to agree, Pat.
Okay, let's find out if he's right.
That was the correct sitcom.
All right, John.
Yep, nailed it. Exactly
right. Good job, buddy.
Bob's knowledge just got John a pair of tickets for Saturday's Flyers-Devils game. Tickets available at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. It's that simple.
Susan, last name, Pat. Do you remember? Ooh. I do not remember her last name. And I remember her mom and dad became characters.
Yeah, I remember the Beefaroni. And yep, and then going up to the
Johnson?
House. No.
Why does Johnson go into my mind? I'll look it up.
I don't remember that, though. The Beefaroni episode and everything. There you go. Susan, I just remember her mom and dad became characters even after she died.
Let's go to Kevin in Swarthmore, who's
let's
up next.
Let's do it. What's up, Kevin?
How you doing?
Good, Kevin. You sound terrible today.
Susan
right?
Ross.
Susan Ross. There you go. There you go, Kevin.
All right, Kevin, you have self-proclaimed sitcom master John Kincaid. So, John, your question is, in the show Stranger Things, Steve Harrington worked in this ice cream shop in the mall. What was it called?
I don't believe that that's a sitcom.
No, there's plenty of funny parts.
I didn't realize that.
Absolutely. That's 100% a sitcom. Dustin with his,
Kevin,
collarbones.
Kevin, I'm going to guess Dipsheets.
And I'm going to disagree with that.
Okay, let's find out if John was correct.
That was not the correct sitcom.
Good job, Kevin.
Way to go, Kev.
Yeah, Kevin, job, Kevin nailed it. This is embarrassing for you, John.
Good job, Kevin.
Kevin, you are going to win a pair of tickets for a special Temple basketball doubleheader. Head coach Aaron McKee and the Temple men's basketball team battle VCU on Saturday, December 3rd at 1 p.m. at the Lee Corus Center. Then Temple women's team takes on UMBC at 3:30 for tickets. Visit owlsticks.com. Arguably the hottest team in the city, I would say, right now.
Well, I mean, they're going to be the city champs, hopefully.
610-632-0975 if you want to get in for game time and see John embarrass himself. Brian in New Jersey is up next.
What's up, Brian?
What's up, Brian?
How we doing, guys?
Brian, you have Bob for this one. Bob, who was the captain of the Love Boat?
That would be Captain Steubing. Brian, you got to trust me. Captain Steubing.
I guess I'll trust Bob.
All right, let's find out if Bob is right.
That was the correct sitcom.
Very good.
Yep, no.
All right, Bri.
Bob's, Bob, you're on it with this game.
I am.
Bob is really killing on it. Who was he played by, Bob?
Gavin McLeod.
Very good.
Well, wow. he just won Jerry.
I won you two things, Brian.
There you go, Brian.
Go Large on Digital, starring Bryan Cranston, Annette Bening, and Rainn Wilson. Buy or rent it on Digital Now, directed by David Frankel, rated PG-13.
Marge Go Large.
Yeah, based on a true story.
I have not heard that.
So basically, this guy in Michigan realized that there was a fault in the lottery system.
Okay.
He made his town a boatload of money by exploiting this loophole.
Is it a true story?
Yeah, true story.
Really? Brian Cranston, I'm in on Brian Cranston. Yeah, so the minute you sell me on that one.
He's good. All right, let's go to Matt in Philly next.
What's up, Matt?
What's up, guys?
Let's see if we can get you a winner, Matt.
All right, Matt, unfortunately you have John for this one, but let me give him a really, really easy one.
Give me an easy one, Pat. Easy sitcom.
In what city do the Simpsons live in?
Springfield.
All right, do you want to agree with that, Matt?
Agree.
Yeah, it's right.
That
layup
was the correct sitcom.
All right, Matt. Way to go, buddy.
I didn't want John completely embarrassed.
Do you know
himself.
What state it is, Pat?
It's no, it doesn't have a state.
I thought it did.
No, because there's a Springfield in all 50 states, so it's not.
I thought it might have been right next to O'Hara near the old Lamb Tavern.
We're moving on.
There we go. What does Matt win?
The Visitor on Digital. It's the latest horror thriller film from Blumhouse Productions, available to buy or rent now on Digital. Doc now.
Wow.
Digital, no. Buy or rent on Digital now.
There you go.
Read. Had a stroke. Smell
it's
your toast.
It's the eyes.
Let's go to Brian and Yardley to finish this up.
All right, Brian, you get last one.
All right, Brian. All right. I'm actually going to give you another one for John. John's been embarrassing himself. He just redeemed himself. But sorry, Bob. You can jump in if you want to. John.
Yes.
Who saves Rick from a horde of zombies in episode one of Walking Dead? The sitcom The Walking Dead. Who saved Rick?
Brian, I got this for you. Jan Brady.
Jesus, dude. Brian, do you agree or disagree?
I am going to disagree with that.
Yeah, smart move.
Good job,
that
Brian.
Was not the correct sitcom.
Good job, Brian.
Embarrassing. This guy
good job, Brian.
Today.
By the way, Walking Dead just ended, right?
It did just end. But luckily, your lack of knowledge just won Brian a case of Bud Light. You can join me Saturday, December 10th from 7 to 9 for Bud Light Saturday Game Night Series at Casey's Place in Quakertown. Got your chance to win Eagles Saints tickets courtesy of Bud Light and more. Let's try to get you on the right path.
All right, give me one.
I'll give you some more to redeem yourself.
All right, here we go.
Chili, Bingo, and Bandit are members of whose family?
The Addams Family.
Dude, Bluey.
Like, I didn't know Bluey.
Come on, man.
I don't know Bluey.
All right, we'll move on. We got another one. This man got 3 minutes or so, but was arguably the biggest star on this hour-long program. Who was he?
That's a really vague...
It's not. If you know sitcoms.
No, I do not
know. His name's Andy Rooney.
Wow.
Whose segment started as 3 minutes or so with Andy Rooney. You don't even know sitcoms.
I didn't even know that.
Finally, Richard Hatch beat who in season one of Survivor?
He was the naked guy, Richard Hatch.
Yes, the sitcom Survivor. Who did he beat? What was her full name? I need the full name or you don't win.
I do not know.
Jesus, dude. Oh, Kelly Hemsworth.
I didn't realize that.
Don't call yourself a sitcom guy on the show.
Not a sitcom guy.
I say it's just me and you from now on.
It's stolen sitcom guy valor.
That's unbelievable. Terrible sitcom knowledge on my part.
I'm embarrassed for you.
My gosh.
And I tried to give you stuff that a sitcom guy would know.
That a sitcom person would know. And at that point, I just don't know. So, hey, the Black Friday sale is on at Colonial Marble and Granite. Been extended through Monday, so remind yourself, you can save big on countertops, cabinetry, tile, flooring, and more. Visit colonialmarble.net. Anthony Gargano tells you about it all the time. And get registered for our holiday wheel. Go to 975thefanatic.com. It's brought to you by Rally House. And the folks from Rally House said, we don't want everybody to just have a spin of the wheel. We want them to get a prize. So Rally House is giving every single person whose name gets called a $50 gift card. How about that to you? But you got to get registered to win. Register for the holiday wheel now at 975thefanatic.com. I would imagine Rally House is going to be selling some Phillies gear for Christmas. That'd be my guess. A lot of Phillies gear for Christmas.
Sure, a lot of World Series gear, a lot of people want to represent the Phils.
I walked in yesterday into the Rally House in Exton and they were hanging Phillies jerseys. They're restocking the Phillies jerseys.
Good move.
So you can get.
Can I get a Trey Turner one already? Or
there was not a Trey Turner one to be had, but.
In due time.
There was a stack of a player. Pat, see how much of a Phillies guy you are.
Okay.
There was a stack of jerseys that were being hung up where the young lady was putting them up with the, because they had to go up high on the wall.
Scott Air.
Who is the player?
I mean, can we get more than that?
There's a player in the Phillies that they were stocking up, and they sell a ton of these.
A ton of them?
Yes.
I would go with a current player.
Yes.
Well, I mean, Bryce Harper would be the obvious one.
That was not their biggest seller.
Kyle Schwarber.
JT Realmuto.
Yeah. Okay,
they sold a ton of JT Realmutos. Because I said, that's a lot of Realmutos. She said, we sell a ton of Real Mutos.
Girls like the Real Muto.
Yes.
They didn't have Philly, like for toddlers. They didn't have...
a lot of little ones?
They've got some. Yeah, I wasn't talking about Rally House, but when I purchased it for Jack, I went online and...
Oh, okay.
They only had Real Muto. It was weird.
Really?
They didn't have Harper, yeah.
That's strange.
Bizarre. So maybe that's why. Maybe they're just supplying more.
Maybe in 18 days they'll have it for Harper. Maybe they're just waiting, taking some time off. Dallas Goedert being out of a sling yesterday is amazing news. Jamie Apodi on the news. I saw it for the first time when we were watching the news at Channel 6, and Jamie Apodi was showing Dallas Goedert at his locker without his sling on. And the great news is he looks completely on target to return versus the Bears on the 18th. We're still waiting official word on whether Jordan Davis is returning this weekend, but it appears good. That's just one of the happy thoughts I had yesterday. And honestly, it was my, you know, this morning's really, really happy thought when the Bradford White water heater was spewing hot water all over the place that Dallas Goedert is fine to be back. It looks like he's...
Was he interviewed or did they just show him?
He was smiling and he was there. He's feeling good and he was feeling good and he wasn't wearing his sling anymore. How about that? They were just checking on him.
I didn't know if there was an interview. He's on target.
To come back versus the Bears.
Good. That's a big part of the offense. I can't wait till this team gets totally healthy again.
I want word on Jordan Davis.
It's still incredible to me that they have, I believe, one guy out for the season.
And it's
Barnett, which happened so far. It was Barnett, right?
But it was Barnett, and that was early on the season. But other than that, every injury they've had, which has been, you know, it's been bad, but it's been, hey, they're designated to return.
Yeah.
It's huge. I was just looking at the Phillies roster real quick. There is no number 6 on the Phillies roster.
So there's no number 6, no number 11, no number 26. No, he won't be 6.
He was 6 in L.A.
Yeah, but they're saving that for...
Oh, that's a good point. You're right. So my fault.
The Phillies have always had a policy of not retiring numbers if you're not in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
That's clearly going to break, though, for guys like Hamels. Maybe not Hamels, but guys like Howard, Rollins, and Utley. Like, I don't think anyone's ever going to wear 6 again.
Do you do all 3 of them?
11 or 26. No, you space it out to get the tickets.
See, I...
To the sold out.
No, I know. I didn't mean it once, but do you retire all 3 of them?
I love the Phillies' policy of not retiring numbers unless you're in the Hall of Fame.
I love that policy. And I do like it, but with those 3 guys, I mean, they deserve to have their numbers retired. Like,
no, they didn't need to be
no
on
one
the
should
they,
ever wear 6 or 26 again.
See, I think they deserve to be on the Wall of Fame.
No.
Like they deserve to
no,
be.
No, because the Wall of Fame is filled. Like the Wall of Fame at this point has gotten watered down.
Well, yeah, don't water down retired numbers.
That's not retired. If you think that having arguably the greatest homegrown home run hitter in franchise history is watering down a retirement.
No, I like the fact that retired numbers of Hall of Famers don't. If you're a Hall of Famer, your number's retired.
I love that too.
I love that policy because it doesn't water it down. It means you had to be incredibly exceptional, not just exceptional here. Like, I got to tell you, Bobby Jones' number retired by the Sixers bothers me every time I see it.
And he's a Hall of Fame.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
And Bobby Jones to me, but I look at it and I go, I never watched it and thought, the NBA Hall of Fame to me is...
But when you
but
watch,
it's not the NBA Hall of Fame.
It's basketball.
Yes. But when you watch Ryan Howard, at one point, he was ticketed until the injury.
I love
But in that 5-year stretch, he was the best home run hitter in baseball. And
he was
integral in them winning a championship. He deserves a number retired.
Yeah, I was going back. It's funny you just said that because I was going back to the 80 team that won the World Series the last time before 08. So obviously you have Schmidt and Carlton. They're retired and they are in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. I don't know if anybody else's number's up there off of that team.
No.
You know, you're talking about what, a Larry Boa?
I don't believe any of them are.
Bob Boone.
Let me correct. So I said the greatest homegrown home run hitter. That would obviously be Mike Schmidt. He had 548.
Right. And he's a Hall of Famer.
But Howard, I mean,
he was great for his window of time. He was freaking spectacular. Absolutely loved it. Every bit of it.
To put him up there, like, who do they have this year? Ron Reed.
Ron Reed. His speech just ended, by the way.
Ryan Howard and Ron Reed. Okay.
There you go. Hey, Pat's point of view is the Eagles, there could be a great offseason spot.
This is Pat's point of view. Here's Pat.
Let me change gears and rip out my paper on why Ryan Howard deserves to be.
No. You're only allowed one of those. Jimmy. Jimmy hopefully gets in.
Yeah, the Eagles and their cap situation is going to be interesting to see what happens with Jalen Hurts. But I'm thinking that the more that they continue to play the way that they are, a balanced attack, the more that Nick Sirianni shows his personality, with everything that we know about how players do love winning in Philadelphia, maybe not the losing part, but the winning in Philadelphia, when it's good, it's great. I think the Eagles are playing themselves into a destination where guys are willing to take a pay cut to come here to win during the offseason. And that this upcoming offseason, you could see a situation of an Ndamukong Suh, but instead of signing midseason, he's signing before the season starts, you know, in March and April and May. And you've got a situation where the depth problems that we look at with safety, with tight end, maybe with a cornerback situation, like James Bradbury's going to cash in, but maybe there's another cornerback out there that goes, yeah, I'm a little old in the tooth right now, but I still got a little bit of game left in me. Where can I win a championship? Philly is it. You're seeing Odell Beckham right now. He's looking at New York because, you know, he's drafted by them.
Right.
Dallas, who he thinks that he can win a championship with. But the other team he's looking at is Buffalo, who he thinks he can win a championship with. So I think the Eagles, the farther they get and the more that they continue to win and show their personality with the coaching staff and whatnot, they're going to be a very desirable location for cheap veteran talent to build some of them with the depth. And this is already a...
Like the ring chase.
Yeah, and this is already, I think, a deep team in some places. But defensive end, you look at defensive end, tight end, and secondary help. They could load up on just veteran talent.
I love that.
And like cheap veteran talent.
Guys, I love that idea of it.
Guys like Chris Long, who I don't think he was ring chasing at the time, but he was just an important veteran piece that came to Philadelphia to win.
Wasn't that signed? Wasn't Long signed later?
He was, yeah.
So like May? Wasn't
some of the
like
key
May?
Signings. One of the key signings they had that year, like him and LeGarrette Blount were both signed, I think, in May.
I can't believe that.
It was like the second round of free agency.
And it could sound weird, but that Phillies World Series run and the way that this fan base was portrayed nationally, that goes a long way also.
Because it's almost a perfect time. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and look, these players, they all talk. They all train together.
Sure.
And some of them share agents. The way that Jalen Hurts conducts himself, everything you hear about him as a teammate. If let's say you're in Denver right now, or you're in Washington, and you're looking at how your quarterback, or now in Washington, in this case, the backup quarterback, might be acting. I'll use Denver as a better example. You're probably sitting there going, yeah, I'd probably rather go be in Philadelphia right now.
I don't think
there's one person in Denver that wouldn't want to be in Philadelphia right now.
You know what's interesting, too, is that we had that postseason run by the Phillies. And not once did this fan base take a black eye.
No.
Because you know how they look to, they do look to give us a black eye.
Yeah.
This is a fan base that they're waiting for the story on.
Yeah, not because once it's lazy.
Not once during that did they come up with anything.
No.
It was all positive.
Is it? Do you think possibly it's a new year, new media, where not only was the Phillies World Series situation that was portrayed very positively with how raucous the crowd was, but then Sunday Night Football, they show the roast pork instead of the cheesesteak. This is
you
I'm
could
liking
change
the changes that are being made by the national media.
I do believe you can change a narrative as a fan base. You can.
I don't.
You can make people believe differently by the way you show yourselves. Nobody acted like, you know, we didn't have any pukers. We didn't have any people acting like a-holes to opposing players.
No,
we didn't have it. We just supported our team and acted like adults.
You know what helped was the picture of Verlander coming in and flipping people off. And then the Houston media and fans tried to make it out like Philadelphia was throwing beers at the...
And he
was the one who dispelled that and said, dude, that did not happen at all.
Yeah, and Mattress...
I was having fun with him.
What's his face? Him cursing. That made them look bad, not the Philly people look bad. Look, when there's been a national stage or whatever for Philadelphia fans, I'm going all the way back to the Super Bowl, they've been phenomenal. The Super Bowl parade.
Yes.
Phenomenal. Nothing happened. You had a draft here that many in the league called it the best
ever.
It was
the best, yeah.
Yeah. World Series just completed here. I mean, Philadelphia, put them on the national stage, they're fine. And it's going to happen in the World Cup games in 2026 also.
Kate Upton had a great time.
She was laughing her ass off, giving fingers.
She's giving the finger to the guy in front of her, and he's giving the finger, and they're laughing. And it just is, I do believe Paddock can change, but I do know this from working with ESPN as long as I did, and then working at CBS, two East Coast-based networks, there is a bias against Philadelphia
that is
absolutely prevalent in the hallways.
That's why I don't think it will change, because people are just so used to it at this point, just seeing Philadelphia and just thinking the worst.
It's hard to not like Rob Thompson. It's hard not to like what the... You know what I mean? There's a lot of good things that I think also put us in a good light.
I just saw something on Twitter during the break, and it was Rob Thompson saying that he was on a conference call, and he said, yeah, I was just sitting in the parking lot talking to a prominent relief pitcher on a Zoom, and I have another Zoom at 2 and another Zoom at 4. Now, I just saw it real quickly as we were coming back.
Whether it's true or not, that's
another thing, but I can't let that stop me from saying it.
I don't think he's lying. I mean, come on.
No, whether it was a true tweet or not.
You don't know.
It might have been Jamie.
All right, coming up, Derrick Henry, to be feared or not. We'll talk about it next. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I know many of you in the same position that we were in this time last year. You have a high school senior. They're getting some acceptance letters in, and they're trying to narrow down choices of where they're going to go to college. What they need to consider is how they're going to pay for it afterwards, because they are going to ask for that college loan to be paid back. So that's why you use College Ave student loans at the front end. Their college loan student calculator test tells you exactly what your student's monthly payment is going to be when he or she graduates. So collegeave.com makes the entire process easier, because all they do is college loans. So go to collegeave.com, and it'll be an emotional support system for you. If you choose this school, you're going to go. You're going to owe 40 grand after college. Choose this school, you may owe 25. Here's what it's going to cost you. You help your student understand the process. Plus, they can register for a $5,000 scholarship that they can win with no purchase necessary. Be part of the process with them. Check out collegeav.com and tell them John Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic. 97.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Nine o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show. It's brought to you by the Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Did you know that, Pat? It's a dumpster in a bag. You can always use one of those. A little bit of a dumpster.
Pat, get yourself one.
Did he know that? I didn't know if Pat knew that or not, that there was a dumpster in a bag that you can use. Gotta love the dumpster. Get yours today. The Bagster at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to Bagster.com. Pat, how we have a whole new system of like running commercials and stuff like that. Yeah. How has it been? Because we heard a lot about it going in, but it doesn't affect any of us but you. So how has the new system been? Is it glitchy? Is it easy? Is it easier?
It's been like NFX.
Okay.
It's a good idea. Just needs to get executed correctly.
That's not bad.
And I'm kind of Sam Bankman right now. So I just need to press the right buttons and do the right things. And
you are doing well, though.
If you don't see me, all of a sudden I'm not here, then you know it's something went really wrong.
And you know we're really
good. It takes some time to get used to. There's differences and stuff. So there's some commercials that might sound louder than others. And, you know, it takes time to get buttons and whatnot. Really what it is, John, it's great for a person like me. It's a built-in excuse.
Well, that's
because
not bad.
You guys have worked with me long enough. You guys know I tended to mess up quite a bit.
I wouldn't say that.
It's like a normal mess up. Now I'm just it's the new system.
Well, I like that. Pat, we're proud and we're glad that you're running it because then we don't have to run it.
Yeah, I'll be using that excuse for the next 2 years.
Bob, we're in the line. You're in line with me on that one.
Oh, absolutely.
No, we don't have to do it.
No, Pat is.
Oh, we're glad that Pat is the one who's on the line to have to do this.
Any glitches, we look at Pat. So I wanted to clear up something I said earlier. John, you're going to like this. It came from Larry Schenck.
Well,
our old pal, the Baron, Larry
Schenck.
Well,
it comes from the Baron. It's the best.
Yeah, Rob Thompson, in a speech yesterday at the London, Ontario Sports Association, said, "Before I got here, I was in a Timmy Ho's are the best, Timmy Horton's parking lot, doing a Zoom call with a potential free agent bullpen pitcher we'd like to sign, and when I'm done here, I have Zooms at 2 and 4. My man is on it. That's Philly Rob we're talking about right there.
I've got to tell you is that's what my wife is saying after we met him at the Flyers. She's like, what a kind man. Like he makes a friend for life. When you meet him, when you hear him speak.
So you guys are friends for life?
No, that's like he makes friends for life. He meets people and they're like, oh, I'm in on Rob Thompson. He's that kind of dude. And now for someone who like for my wife, who's not a big sports fan. She meets someone like Rob Thompson, and she's like, okay, he's the best. So he brings fans to the table. Joe Girardi, I'm not sure that the same thing could be said for.
I don't think selling
the product. And
Christina would probably say, I don't even want to have a cold slice of pizza with him. However, Rob Thompson, she
likes torts.
Curl up and have a Timmy Ho coffee.
She likes torts, though. Big fan of torts. Flyers are her team. Pat, I told you yesterday. She says, so what does this mean to their playoff chances? The fact that they won the other night. I'm like, honey, no regular season games in the NHL, they really don't.
Well, I mean, there's two playoffs. There's the actual Stanley Cup playoffs, and there's the Connor Bedard playoffs. So she's not far off.
I want to win that one.
You'd love to win that one, wouldn't you?
Seen the numbers on him and the highlights of him?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's really good at the sport of hockey.
I believe the other day they had a 16... Like on pace for like a 16% chance to get Bedard. That's not good enough for Pat, but it is a it's progress, right?
Well, I don't remember the last time the worst team in the NHL actually won
Correct.
The draft lottery. So
it can happen.
But yeah, it can happen. Yeah,
there you go.
He's a stud, though.
Hey, Derrick Henry is a fantastic talent. But Derrick Henry has also been in his own production slump the last three games. And if you don't believe me, read the Tennessean. Sometimes you can bogart a little bit of show prep. Versus the Bengals last week, 17 carries for less than 2.25 yards per carry. The week before against the Packers, 28 carries and a 3.11 yards per carry. The week before against the Broncos, 19 carries for less than 2.8 yards per carry. It is Derrick Henry, one of his worst stretches of his career. Enough that even the Titans beat writers are like, well, Vrabel's keep sticking with it, but Derrick Henry, quote unquote, has been showing a less than productive element to his game lately. But he never abandons the run, Mike Vrabel. We talked about it yesterday, Bob. I know that Vrabel's going to continue to feed on the ball. Last three games, 17, 28, 19. So you can count on a heavy dose of Derrick Henry. But it's the worst three-game stretch that he's had. Whether that means something or not, he was playing the Bengals, who were a pretty good team, the Packers and the Broncos, who aren't.
That's surprising against the Packers at Green Bay that he didn't have a bigger game.
3.11 and then 2.7 versus the Broncos.
If you go to his three games prior to that, and this is why Mike Vrabel Monster. Keeps going to him, 17 for 115, 6.8 average, 32 for 219, 6.8 average, and 30 for 128, 4.3. He's just the kind of guy, John, that you have to ride. You can't give up on a guy like that. No chance. And it kind of, it makes me a little nervous that he's had three bad games because it's not like Mike Vrabel's going to say, you know what? Hey, Jonathan. Tannehill, we're going to have to, Ryan Tannehill. We're going to have to, I don't know where Jonathan came from.
Got it. You're thinking again.
He's always on my mind. We're going to have to use your arm a little bit more because, you know, Derek's been a little slow lately. You're going to see 25 to 30 rushes from him this week to try to get him back on track. And that's the way you have to go after the Eagles defense right now. It's been shown over the last 4 weeks that the run game is something they're really having trouble with.
And I would say that you can expect on Sunday afternoon, if all things go well, especially with what the Eagles want to do, I would think the game's going to be done. Tell mommy to be home a little early for dinner because it should be a fast game on Sunday.
It could be, Titans could be a lot of running.
Titans play some of the shortest games in the NFL, and we talked about it. Why outthink things? Don't you want this to be a really short game for the Eagles, too?
It's a kiss game. Keep it simple, stupid.
I mean, there's no reason that this should be a complex game plan. Get out there and run the football. And they are not a quick strike. Tennessee does not have a quick strike offense. So you want to make sure you put them in a hole and then bury them. You had a chance to do that to the Packers the other night. And I don't know that you can ever bury an Aaron Rodgers team. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is always going to... He gets the ball in his hands. He makes things happen. He's a
scary. He's a scary player.
And Sunday night, you saw it. That one sort of sidearm throw that he made for the touchdown in the back of the end zone, that ball was delivered on a bullet.
Collinsworth put it great. He said, I don't care if that's Aaron Rodgers from this year, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. That's still one of the best throws he's ever made.
It was fantastic.
And it's so Aaron Rodgers-like that he can do that. Oh, my God.
I don't believe Tannehill's going to do the same thing to them.
I'm not
expecting him to be the same danger, but I really do hope the Eagles keep it simple and don't go with a complex game plan against this team and don't get sucked into AJ Brown. By the way, a lot of the his Tennessee teammates fond memories of AJ Brown. So you got to think about that too. They got to be saying to themselves, "Damn, why did they take that weapon away from us?"
Yeah, because Ryan Tannehill's thought that this year.
When you have A.J. Brown, he's great. But what's even better than A.J. Brown is the possibility of drafting a kid who could be as good as A.J. Brown.
And cheaper is what they were thinking. I think that's what they were thinking. Yeah.
I mean, luckily, we don't have that problem in Philly.
They said he was a sulker, is what I didn't realize reading the Tennessean.
I mean, maybe because...
That he was a bit of a sulker.
He is in an offense that's not catered to throwing the football. It's more catered to running the football. So I'm sure there were times where he's sitting there going, I'm not getting my touches.
So would that concern you here?
No, because his best friend is the guy that's throwing the ball, because you're 10-1, because you are part of maybe the best wide receiving core in all of football. No, I really don't. I don't.
I hope not, because remember, he was a number one seed before in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And he was a number two seed before in Tennessee. And he managed to take a gripe with it. So I'm hoping that's not the case, unless Jalen Hurts is just so much better than Ryan Tannehill, that you have so much more belief in your quarterback.
I think there's a belief in the winning, yeah. And yeah, he won in Tennessee.
There, yeah.
You're right. Yeah, he won in Tennessee. But you think Tennessee offense, that's all you think of is Derrick Henry.
Yes.
And is Ryan Tannehill
plotting.
A supplementary
piece. I
think
plotting.
Yeah. But here, no. I don't see him being upset at all. He's going to get over 1,000 yards this year. He's probably going to get upwards of
1,200, maybe.
Yes, of 75 to 90 catches. I think he's okay. Yeah.
Hey, Staples stores are a new world of possible. They've got innovative tools for small business, remote workers, and learners. You can explore more at your local Staples store. Visit staplesconnect.com. One email I had from yesterday that I wanted to share with you. Dennis wanted to know, are you surprised that the Eagles offense, as fantastic as it has been, does not have the deep ball and huge big scores for Devontae Smith and AJ Brown in the repertoire?
Well,
we really haven't had them.
No, not lately.
I don't see AJ Brown as
Well, against Pittsburgh, he had two long touchdowns and another one.
They were more yards after the catch, though, 15 yards, for the... There was the one long one down, on the... That he hit right around the pylon.
Well, there was also one in the middle where there was two guys there, and he went up in between them and got them.
Was it, 30 yards?
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think people were more talking about you're deep in your own zone, you send one of those guys, and they go 60, 70 yards.
Yeah, that seems to be Quez Watkins with his speed now. That he's your real deep threat. Yeah, you got to go back to earlier in the year, just off the top of my head, Devontae Smith making that great catch on a bomb against Washington that took him down to the 2-yard line.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, when he landed on his back and, God, I thought he was going to break. What a great catch that was. Long balls, I haven't really noticed them not being there, but now that he brings it up, I don't know.
I guess his whole thing is Quez seems to be featured in that role. But I guess he doesn't think is Quez that much faster than the other guys. I sort of like what they're doing with Quez.
He says
he's
the fastest guy in the league.
I like whatever they're doing with Quez Watkins, keep doing it.
Yeah, whatever you're doing all together, keep doing
it. Because I think it makes AJ and it makes Devontae more valuable.
Agree.
If you're worried about, Quez is out there and they're showing a willingness to throw it downfield to him, I bet AJ and Devontae would say do it all day long.
Yeah, and then pick your spots with them, too, because they've both shown to be capable of catching long balls also.
Devontae almost seems like he's become the move-the-chains guy. The move-the-chains receiver. When you're third and six, when you're, they're going to throw to him to move the chains.
Man, they showed a move, one of the experts, and I allude to this a lot, on Twitter, showing him on the All-22 making an inside-out move on the Packers' number one corner. Oh, my God. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Basically, 15 yards downfield, looks like he's going to cut it inside, turns it back outside. The way he planted, turned, I mean, that D-back was all the way turned around before he knew what was going on. He runs such good patterns.
Now, six less games than remember one game last year, Devontae Smith played didn't they get him the 1,000, they got him the 900 yards pad or whatever the rookie record was, and then they took him out.
Yeah, they took him out. Yep.
Then they took him out. So in 17 games last year, Devontae Smith had 64 receptions. Six games less this year, he's already got 56. He's going to blow by last year's number.
Yep.
And that's with the addition of A.J. Brown, which is really, to me, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it is. And they've kind of included, I don't know, Watkins' number this year compared to last year. It seems to me like he's more included week in and week out. it's just, it shows you the growth of Jalen Hurts, but it also shows you the growth of Devontae Smith going from a number one last year as a rookie, putting up the numbers he did, to this year essentially going to a number two, but his numbers not falling off at all.
His numbers are better.
Are better, yeah.
Devontae Smith's, his receptions, 55% of them have gone for a first down.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Now I'm going to ask you this. For A.J. Brown, his receptions, how many of A.J. Brown's have gone? So 55 for Devontae. How many for A.J. Brown of his receptions do you think have gone for a first down? Because I'm trying to figure, I do not know the number, and I'm doing it right now. I'm doing the math right now.
I might go higher than 55 because I do recall Brown. Yeah, I'm going to go like 72%.
Because that's
our first down.
Because he's got now his receptions this year, he's already got 53, which is pretty incredible there. His 64%.
Okay.
That's amazing. You have two receivers right there, 64 and 55 for first downs. That's excellent.
I bet you Goddard's is even higher.
And that's really. And that says a lot.
Is.
That says a lot about, that says a lot about your quarterback. Because that means when they need to get a first down, they know they have a quarterback that he's going to his different weapons. I got to do Dallas Goddard now. Now you got me totally.
Yeah, for some reason, I just think his first down percentage is really, really high.
Dallas Goddard's?
Yeah.
72%.
Okay,
72 for him, 66 for AJ, 55 for Devontae. That's wild.
Yeah, not bad.
And that's spreading it around. Hey, the Giants host the Commanders on Sunday. And Washington's been red hot. You know they're the best team over the last seven games right there, so that's good. They're red hot, 6-1. Eagles had a bye week. And the Giants have lost 3 of 4. Considering the Eagles play the Giants next week, would you rather see the Giants go into a continued tailspin and lose 4 out of 5 going into the game? Or would you rather see them stabilize a bit? Pat, do you have any idea? And does it matter to you at all going in? You've shown no concern for the NFC field.
Nope.
But would you rather see the Giants' tailspin continue?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you'd rather see them lose this weekend and the Commanders win?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not scared of the Giants at all.
Going into next week's game,
but I'm less scared of the Commanders.
No, but I'm saying for next week's game, you got to play the Giants twice in your last five.
Yeah.
Would you rather have them coming in losing 4 or 5?
Them coming in off a win.
Yeah. What do you think?
4 out of 5. They're just no.
I don't know.
You think they're toast at that point?
I think they start questioning were we fake the whole time.
Okay.
Well, or they go desperation mode, in which case it might make them more dangerous. I just think the NFL is such a week to week thing. Carryovers are hard. I don't know. Look, I still think the Eagles are the better football team than the Giants, no matter how hot. They could go in and just roll the Commanders this weekend. It doesn't change my opinion of what may happen next weekend, I don't believe. I always like teams coming in, though, on a good win, coming off of a good win as opposed to a bad loss. Because I do think it's like that bee sting effect. You know, you got stung getting rolled. You're really ready to fight. I'd rather them get a win against the Commanders this week. Like a big win. Like a last second touchdown win.
Yeah, I wonder about
win.
That, too.
Yeah.
I sort of feel that way, too. It's psychology, Pat. It makes no sense.
No,
Because Bob
it
and I both know, it. Like week to week, it doesn't.
If they win, we're going to be sitting there going, all right, they're feeling themselves. And then if they lose, we'll be sitting there going, all right. You know, they're desperate. Yeah, they're a dangerous football team. It's
and you don't believe they are. You don't believe in the Giants.
No.
I don't either.
It can go both ways. Well, I mean, you know, if they win or they lose,
right. You
just manipulate it in your head that it's going to be a tough game. When they play the Giants, it's not going to be that difficult.
Well, I love
scorching
hearing
scorching hot take.
I love hearing that.
I don't think they're real.
By the way, love Philly sports trips. The NBC, when they do their announcement, they decided to go with the rising value of the Los Angeles Chargers on primetime football against the Giants losing 3 of 4, taking them out of that flex. We would have seen another one of these 8:20 games, and instead we get another 1 o'clock game.
Good.
3 weeks in a row, because they're not going to flex the Bears into primetime. They're not flexing Eagles Bears. Bears are one of the worst teams in football. So the Eagles are going to get to play 3 1 o'clock games, which I think is great. It's great for the fan base.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. And, you know, when it comes to the playoffs and you have a Saturday night 8 o'clock game or something like that, I think it makes it feel a little more special, too. And not that it's you're getting in the doldrums of being at 8 o'clock all the time, but most of the players that we've talked to through the years, they don't love that. They like their normal routine of 1 o'clock, unless it's, you know, playoffs. You understand it's going to be different. The more normal, the better. Are you two-page, Pat? I want to give you an update. Can we please start a GoFundMe to get Egan some new glasses? And that's Austin Krell, our friend Austin Krell.
And Austin would absolutely be. So
right, I think it's already started.
He's so giving right now, like that.
Well, just a quick update for those that can't see on like YouTube or anything. So right now, glasses are on, but they are pinned, basically like with the headphones, they're pinned to my head, so they're not going anywhere, so I can see.
It is a funny look. There was one time during the day, I called up YouTube, and you were on there with your glasses like that, horrible. And I laughed out loud.
Yeah, I look ridiculous.
I don't think you look horrible.
I don't feel like putting my contacts, so I'm just dealing with this right now.
And my wife even offering, saying, I would gladly pick up, like if Pat wanted to disorder the glass, I'd pick them up for him.
She'll take
if
you to your
busy.
Appointment, Pat.
She knows you work too hard. She knows you're working Flyers games.
Yeah, I got one tonight.
You got a Flyers game tonight versus the Tampa Bay Lightning on the Fanatic, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Daniil Cavalier, Javi Bullen.
I don't believe it's still them.
Sure it is. Yeah,
Brad
it is.
Richards, Mike, uh-huh.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
They're all back. Because they Vincent could, even at like, their advanced age, they could probably take this Flyers.
Stop!
Be able to
Flyers won. They could start a winning streak tonight. Bob, we could start a winning streak tonight.
That's cute. John.
Could be two wins
in a row.
Two wins in a row.
Tomorrow,
I know this.
That's called a winning streak.
I know this. The Flyers game will be on in our house tonight. It's the sport. I don't know what. You come to a town. You become a member of a new city. Now, she loves hockey, but her favorite team is the Flyers. And the one that she's most
That's
likely.
Just because she hasn't come to one of my hockey games yet.
And we're, well,
I can get her good seats right against the glass.
Right down in Chester County, right there?
Well, yeah.
We could do
10:30 start, but.
I don't know that she'll do that. You never know, though. Do you have a business person special?
No.
You might have to take her to PJ's first, get a few in her, and then take her over to watch Pat play. And maybe she'll think she's watching the Flyers, John.
Not too far away from you in Westchester. We can get you good seats.
She
right
can see Marty St. Louis.
If you get her drunk enough, she'll think I'm Marty St. Louis.
There you go.
Pat has been nice enough to leave me tickets more than a few times for his games.
And they've been used? Or you just always get left?
I sell them off on the, you know, on the black market.
Oh, you go to secondary market?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
On the black market.
Yeah, I'm like a poor man St. Louis. They call me Marty St. Louis.
There it is, Marty St. Louis.
Yeah, that's what Christina will call me.
All right, coming up, this is just an idea for you. Should you be concerned about the Eagles or not versus their peers in the NFC? I have a little quiz for you. We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show, Cuz Radio comes your way at 10 here on 97.5, The Fanatic. You hear it all the time. I hate Steven Singer. Well, guess what? I love Steven Singer. Just going to tell you the truth. Because you know what? He's got the number one gift that every woman wants. My daughter would love a pair of diamond stud earrings. And you know what? I can get a pair of his Anita diamond stud earrings for less than $300. Guys, why don't you make the buying process simple? You could go to one of those mall jewelers, and I promise you, you're not getting the quality, and you're not getting the great deals that you get from Steven Singer Jewelers. Go to IHateStevenSinger.com, click on the Anita Diamond Stud Earrings. They're going to be less than $300. And here's what's great. They're near colorless. They are flawless to the eye, and they come with this famous full-value lifetime trade-in. So if a couple years from now, your lady wants bigger diamond studs, you can trade in those full replacement value towards a new pair. Plus, they got fast and free shipping both ways. And if there was a return needed, it's a full 100-day, 100% no-hassle money-back guarantee. So you're shopping now for Christmas with no risk. Go to IHateStevenSinger.com. Click on the diamond stud earrings. Anita Diamond Studs at Steven Singer. That's IHateStevenSinger.com.
97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
Spring Garden Lending specializes in bridge and permanent loans that help you acquire, rehab, construct, and refinance your investment properties. It's Spring Garden Lending. They're faster than a bank, and they're less expensive than hard money lenders. We appreciate them being a part of the family here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Appreciate you. Cuz Radio has a spirited pregame discussion going on right now. Andrew was talking about Prince Amukamara.
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah, Wisconsin.
See, I just remember him as a Giant. I didn't even realize the other teams that he played for.
I remember the Prince. Yeah, that it came from a discussion when we were talking about the singer Prince.
Love Prince.
I love Prince Amukamara coming out of college.
You did?
I wanted him so bad.
Now, he didn't fizzle, but he wasn't...
He wasn't what he was probably supposed to be at the 19th overall. I just looked it up. 19th overall, yeah.
What was he? What, 2012?
Draft? 2011.
2011. Oh, I almost had that there.
I believe they took Danny Watkins that year.
Oh, no.
They did. They took Danny Watkins. So I would rather have Prince Amukamara than Danny Watkins. But
now, I told you, my buddy Ed, he married a couple, and Danny Watkins was in the wedding party. And you would never be.
I'm guessing he slimmed down quite
a
bit.
It's unbelievable. He's chasing his. It's weird. He's chasing his passion in life. He's a fireman.
Nothing wrong with that.
And that's admirable too.
I wish you'd have told us that before we drafted you.
They did know that was a passion of his. That's a big loss. That's a big black mark for him.
He brought his firehouse to the draft. And then when he would do his Sunday Night Football and the rare times he started and he had to do the intros, he wouldn't say a college or a grade school or high school. He would say the station, like West Kelowna Station 34.
Are you loving the Jeff Stoutland University?
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, big fan.
Okay, have you seen any gear?
Yes. Yeah, they
are. Oh, you already have?
Yes. Shirts on, yeah.
Yeah, they're selling shirts for charity.
So they already are.
Yeah, Vince Pellegrini, our buddy Vince, sent me a
What's
link
up, Vince?
It. Yeah, he sent me a link to the Stoutland U.
See, that's fantastic.
Because he knows I'm a big Stoutland guy.
That is fantastic.
Shout out to Coach Jeff Stoutland.
There you go, Jeff.
Offensive line coach, Bobby.
And, I've heard of him.
And the weird thing is, too, his loyalty to the Eagles is fantastic. Because if he just put it the word out there, yeah, I'm looking to get back into the SEC, every school would fight over him and would keep raising the...
Well, like 2 years ago, he was supposed to go back to Alabama.
Yeah.
They wanted him.
And then he switched and came back. Real quick, though, why did you bring up Prince Amukamara?
Andrew brought it up.
Like, out of nowhere?
Yeah.
No, we were talking about Prince the Singer.
Oh, they were talking
the
about singer. Prince the Singer.
Oh, gotcha.
And then Andrew brought up
Mount
Prince Amukamara.
Princes.
It was, yeah. I don't think they're doing that on the on Cuz Radio today, so we're not going to steal their topic. But they're not. I don't believe they're doing that today.
What, the Mount Rushmore of Princes?
Of Princes. I don't think that. Andrew's not.
Charles has to be there, I would say, right?
No. What did you see what happened to, by the way, to William and Kate in Boston last night? They got booed.
Yeah. Did they?
Yeah, they got booed at the Celtics game. They went to the Celtics game.
I thought before they said they were a Memphis Grizzlies fan.
Oh, what?
Huh?
They said they were.
William and Kate
show up. The Duke and Duchess is, or Prince and Princess of Wales. I don't know what the title is.
Yeah. He's king to be, isn't he?
She used to have a conference named after her in hockey.
Yes.
By the way. They got booed. They put them up on the Jumbotron and they booed them.
Yeah, because they're no Pasakim.
But why are you booing William and Kate?
Well, why not?
Like, why? Just to be a-holes?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you got to remind them, hey, you guys lost the war.
Yeah.
All right.
Our country.
Let me give you a little history lesson, Willie and Kate. You want to come over here? Okay, 1776. There was 13 of us. There was a lot of you redcoats.
Tell them, Pat.
By the
what
way,
happened?
There are friends.
The L back.
There are friends.
We just nil-nilled them in or was that 1-1?
It was a draw.
Is that the nil-nil game?
Nil.
Yeah, I get them confused. So maybe they were just booing the recent World Cup action.
I just don't understand why people are... I don't understand the let's just be a-holes to be a-holes. I understand if they put up... Here's Jack Boston.
No, but they don't get it. They're like, Prince... when Prince Akeem of Zamunda came over, like, that's a guy that, like, he got it. He got the country. He ingratiated himself well. He got a job here. He grew to know the people. These people, they come over. I'm sure they're in a suite or they're on the floor and courtside.
They were like interacting with players and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and regular fans.
Regular fans do not interact with the players. But
the Tea Party's still fresh on Boston people's minds,
exactly.
John.
They're just miserable. They are miserable dogs. Up there is all I'm going to say.
Well,
miserable.
I mean, the Boston Massacre, like, let's not forget, okay?
Tough times, man.
Yeah.
The Boston Strangler was employed by us.
See? Who, Beasley?
Andrew Tony.
Andrew Tony.
No. I have so many jokes that I could go to there on that one. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it at that point. When did each of the top NFC contenders play their three worst games? Can we start with the Eagles? If you were to tell me right now, Bob, you'd be objective. Give me the Eagles' three worst games of the year.
Well, obviously, Washington.
Okay, Washington has to be one of them.
Indianapolis is probably another one.
Okay.
And then maybe you might have to go all the way back to... Wow.
Their three worst games are their three last games.
Could be. I
really believe it is.
Yeah, Green Bay could be up there.
Pat, I mean, is that two of the three we can agree on, right? Washington, Indianapolis.
Washington, Indy, and then I might actually go with Detroit week one.
You only won by three against a team that proceeded to lose like their next four or
that's
five.
That's not a bad one. Yeah. I mean, like, that's very objective. Like, but like at least two of their last three have been their worst games of the year. Okay, I look at Dallas. Dallas had a terrible game in their opener. Dallas, the Eagles game would be one of them. And obviously they lost to Green Bay. Those are their three bad ones.
Who was their opener? Tampa?
Tampa, and they got skunked 19-3 at home. Tampa beat them 19. I don't know how that happened. And Dak Prescott got hurt late in the third quarter. But it was 19-3.
Okay.
That was a bad one. But the thing is, I'm pointing there is, you can argue that Green Bay was a terrible loss for them. That's the first time in their franchise's history they lost a lead in the fourth quarter of 14 points. So one of their worst games came in, two of the Eagles' worst games came in their last three. One of Dallas's came in their last three. So when you look at that, I wanted to look at San Francisco and figure out, is it better for them? San Francisco... Their worst losses were a 19-point loss versus Kansas City, a 14-point loss at Atlanta, and they lost to the Bears week one by 9. I don't even remember that at Chicago, first week of the year.
Yeah, I don't remember yesterday.
But they are the best, and they've been blowing teams out for 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and the stat that you gave earlier, they haven't given up a second-half point in their last four games.
Thanks to Jeff Kurtz, CBS. Yes, he had that yesterday. Well, yes. But then I look at that, and I was asked by one of our listeners to review that. They didn't give up second-half points to the Chargers, the Rams, Arizona, and New Orleans. So not exactly juggernauts.
Yeah, but still, it's impressive.
But it
shows me adjustments at halftime.
But it made me feel a little better about the fact that I'm going, man, the Eagles aren't playing their best ball right now. Here's Minnesota. That Dallas game, absolutely their worst game of the year. The Eagles game was the second week of the year, one of their worst. So like Dallas, like the Eagles, they played a bad game in the beginning of the year, played a bad game there, and honestly, they've only got two losses, but they had I'm going to tell you, too, the New England game on Thanksgiving night wasn't a great game for them. I mean, they barely got past a New England team and Mac Jones, and
yeah,
that really wasn't good. So it made my mind feel better doing that exercise. That, yeah, the Eagles aren't playing their best ball, but either is Dallas lost a game to a team the Eagles beat, and Minnesota got blown out by 37 points at home. The Eagles will never lose a game by 37 at home. This team.
No. I agree with that.
So to me, it made me feel better going, chill out, John. Look at who they're, look at what's going on. Not every team's playing their best. And even San Francisco, it looks like they're on a roll, is beating up the crap teams. They're beating up some crappy teams, but they're delivering knockout blows and not letting them hang around.
Yeah, and it goes back to they've had a rough four-game stretch. They haven't been great in these last four games. Some may even say they've been subpar.
Yes.
And they've won three or four.
Correct.
That's awesome.
And other teams like the fact that you didn't lose to, the Buffalo Bills lost to Minnesota. We didn't. The Dallas Cowboys lost to Green Bay. We didn't. So other things, too, to say, okay, other teams that are big Super Bowl contenders lost games that the Eagles didn't lose.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the ups and downs of the NFL season, right? And when you're having your little downtime, which they are now, and you still have won three of four, that's terrific.
Yeah, it is.
And they're playing diverse teams. You know, you went against Indianapolis, run Jonathan Taylor. You're thinking run, run, run. Then you come back, you go with Aaron Rodgers. Well, you think you got to stop the pass. Right. Now they're going against Derrick Henry this weekend. And you're thinking, all right, got to stop the run again. As much as we've complimented them offensively for their diversity, the defense has gone against a lot of diverse offense when you compare the teams from week to week, and they're going to have to find themselves because they're the ones that have, in this four-game stretch, that have been off a little bit.
Bob wants to know, what do the Eagles have to tighten up in Cooney's Corner?
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yeah, so staying on that, in these last four games, I think we're being honest if we say the Eagles have not played stellar football.
They have not.
And it's okay. And the greatest part about it is they've won three of the four. But if you look at something, and I'm taking away the run defense because I think that's too obvious. But if you look at something that you say, if they just shore this up, they're back to that team, closer to the team that was 8-0 as opposed to this team over the last four that we've had a little bit more questions about. What is it?
Well, it's something that I talked about in the 7 o'clock hour, the turnovers.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You've got 8 turnovers in 4 games. When you add 2 turnovers in your first 7 games, that's gotten really sloppy. They've been averaging 2 turnovers a game. It took them 7 games to accumulate 2 turnovers.
You know, and it's an extreme on both ends. I don't know if you can have stretches of 7 games with just 2 turnovers.
Why?
That's, I don't want to say anomaly, but that's
crazy.
No, I
think it is an anomaly.
And then to have 8 in, what is it, John?
4
8
games.
And 4? That's not this team either.
No.
So there's something in between. Turnovers is a good one. Pat, do you have another? Because I think there could be a couple of things that you go with.
I would go with kick coverage.
Yeah, special teams is another.
It's brutal. It's just not good. They got gashed. And we talked about it yesterday, but it led to a lot of, the majority of Green Bay's points came from great field position. Whether it be turnovers or poor kick coverage.
I agree with you. And it's going back to that time. You remember Danny Smith, the special teams coach for the Eagles, a guy that always had a big
wad
of gum, and he's still in the league. You still see him around. But the special teams was so bad then that every time the Eagles kicked off, you were expecting something bad to happen.
Did
it's
he last just 1 year?
I'm pretty sure he may have gotten. I think he switched up positions. I think he went from special teams to some kind of a defensive coach.
And he was right after. He was right after Harbaugh left?
Might have been right around there. My special teams coach's knowledge isn't probably up to snuff. But I just remember when he was there, he was an unlikable figure. And Khalil Wilson tells me he's in Pittsburgh now. The special teams was really bad then.
It was terrible.
And you didn't have the chance then because the ball was back further of kicking the ball out of the end zone. Now you do. Now it's easily rectifiable. You got to fix this. You have to fix it quickly. And if it is a case that Jake Elliott's foot, his ankle, is bothering him that much, well, then you got to add a guy. You have to. You're going to have to eat that roster spot. I know it sounds horrible that you're eating a roster spot for all a guy does is kick the ball out of the end zone, but you have other guys on the roster that are doing less than that.
But I think and I think it's clear that it's declining. So he's having a little bit of an issue with something.
Yeah, I think there's something there.
So there you go. That is, and there's things, and there's always things to work on. But when you analyze, we just get so immersed in our team positives, negatives, that a lot of times we don't realize that if you turn to Dallas Sports Radio, Minnesota Sports Radio, San Francisco Sports Radio, they're doing the same damn things. They're doing the same things.
Yeah, but they're not as good as it.
They're looking at, Anthony, I shared something earlier today. The Dallas writer with Sports Illustrated and everything saying, they don't really have a chance to catch the Eagles unless the Giants can help us out or the Bears can help us out. Because even if the Titans beat them, they need another NFC loss. You know, so they're like, it's like they need another NFC loss.
Right.
They're giving up. So even in Dallas, they're already going, oh, boy, well, we're never going to catch them. I think sometimes, and I know I'm guilty of it, you get immersed in the, well, what's going to be our fatal flaw? What's going to be our...
Yeah.
And every other city, they're doing the same thing, and they're seeing
I think that's the nature of the sports fan. The nature of the sports fan is it's to protect themselves from disappointment, right? Everybody's looking for the pillow drop, right? Like, so, you know, well, I'm disappointed. So you don't want to get your hopes too high
right. And
get dashed, right? And everybody does it. It's a truism of every sports fan.
I like getting my hopes up, though. I'm the oddball. Like, I love...
Nah, dude, I agree with you.
Because I love getting the hopes up and then saying...
Like, when they're real. Like, seriously.
Yes, when they're real.
You know, last year, they weren't real. They weren't good. I mean, you know, they were a product of beating bad teams. And, you know, they exceeded expectations. I thought they were going to win 6 games last year. Right? They got...
I bet the under.
Yeah.
I bet under 6.5.
So, you know, listen. They exceeded expectations. You know, once they make the playoffs, you go, hey, suspend disbelief. Who knows what happens? Well, you know they weren't a Super Bowl team. They weren't a real contender.
Right.
But this year, they are. So get your hopes up.
Yeah, the feelings on Sundays this year, it's way it's different than last year. You wake up and you just have that, like, you know, and this sounds like weird, but this is how we are. You have those little butterflies. You have that excitement.
Dude,
Bobby? Last year, it was kind of just like, all right, you know, let's see what happens today. This year, there's expectations of good happening.
But the expectations come with that, Anthony, is when we get to playoff time, I mean, it should be no, like, the way this team has played this year, there should be nothing less than hosting an NFC title game, correct?
Yeah, well, especially if you, that would mean you win one game.
Yeah, I mean, at home. Then nothing less than that. Yeah. But a team that Bob and I both predicted 12
and 5.
You know
what's funny, though? I don't do that.
So you don't do that?
I don't do my, you know, here's my floor, right? Like, they have to eclipse this. Like, I take it all, like, as the game it is. They have, Sixers have to get out of the second round. Now, intellectually, I agree with that.
Some generation, they will.
You know, but the point is that, like, if the Eagles somehow get beat in the second round, like, in their first playoff game.
As a number one seed?
Right, and they get beat. Now, would I be happy? Of course not. But what does that mean? It only means that they lost a game, right? They're really, really good. They're going to be good for the next 5 years. I'm not going to make sweeping changes because they lost one game. Yeah. So, therefore, am I disappointed? Obviously.
But you really don't set a floor?
No.
Bob, do you set a floor? You don't Bob doesn't look ahead.
Bob looks
ahead less than any fan I've ever heard.
Well, I agree with him. I kind of...
Not like looking ahead.
That's why I don't set a floor, because I don't know how the game's going to go. I don't know how the matchup's going to go. Like, if somehow you have to play San Francisco, and San Francisco comes in here...
It's nasty.
I don't like the matchup.
Well, that's why I want to be the number one seed, because then San Francisco's going to be the 2 or the 3. So if you get the number one seed, you're not playing them to the NFC title game, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, well, I hope
one game takes all.
I hope that's the case.
They're not dropping to the 4. I don't think Tampa's jumping them.
See, I can't even do this.
Right.
That makes me antsy. I can't look that far down the road. Well, if this happens and then they're number 2, and you're great at it, and you look at it in a good way, I just can't. I'm like...
No, it might not be a job. It might not be a good way.
No, but I think...
It might be a way...
You're not surprised by anything, because you've played it all out.
Like... I don't know what's going to happen in a game, like what the matchup's going to be. Like, I can't set, certain matchups for certain teams are not good, and certain ones are way better. It's like, look at the path when they won the Super Bowl. Look at that path. That path wasn't exactly treacherous.
And
right?
it also opened up for them by the Rams getting upset by the Falcons.
The Saints
getting beaten on a dramatic play.
Exactly.
I mean, that was, and I do believe, and I've always said, I've got a lot of people push back at me, I think that path that they got is what got them to the Super Bowl.
I agree. I think you're dead right about that.
I think Drew Brees and the Saints right here.
Part of me believes that it was...
Magical?
Yes. I do.
It finally paid
it
us all.
I believe that, yes. He saw a ghost.
The man on the docks, right?
Yeah.
The man down on the docks.
This dude, every time you brought
it
him
up... It reminds me of my dad when you describe him.
You know, it's funny because he had the Jeff cap on.
Which my dad always
had. My Uncle Yummy had one of those.
He said he had the nose.
The drinker's nose.
My dad had that.
He had this, like, kind of pink round face.
Right.
Right. And he was one of those faces that make you smile. Like a good person. Like you go.
Like you think this guy's not going to.
Like he's a. Right. He would be a Mr. Cooney or a Mr. Kelly. Right. Right. Or a Mr. Fitzpatrick. Like this, like, good Irish face that I just go kindly.
Right.
Right. And
it all ties
the Eagle,
together.
The old school Eagle jacket.
And he told you.
Yeah.
They were going to close it out.
He said it.
And Anthony and I started a morning show the day after the first game of 2017 when they won that Super Bowl.
Yeah, dude.
So it was my dad, Spirit, coming down, meeting you, and then you and I started the show, and we win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pop.
There you go. Hi, Miss Cooney. And he would have been able to write 800 words on it easily.
The best story about my dad, Anthony, you'll appreciate this, is a newspaper guy. Huge stories happening in the city, major fire, all that. My dad was a rewrite guy back then, so the reporters called in what was going on. My dad would write it, and this guy, Zach Stahlberg, who's a legend, said in my dad's obituary that my dad sat there and wrote the biggest story of the year while Shoeshine Guy was was at his feet shining his shoes.
How awesome is that?
Is that a great, yeah.
That was a great story.
You mean the guy that walked through the newsroom, the churches and stuff?
Back in the day, Guy George, I'll never forget him.
You know what? I always admire, it was the worst thing being on Deadline, and I used to have to cover these fights, and I'm thinking about it.
Well, what are they, like 11:30 at night, midnight, 12:30?
So they would hold up the newspaper.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Right? To get the result, because I'm in Vegas and I remember covering the bike fight, right? And they're like, "Hurry up!"
Yeah, exactly, right?
And, I need to make words fit and sing and
you and I are the exact opposite. You're a big writer. I'm a deadline writer.
Yeah,
I love deadline writing because I need the timing.
You are all like, it's awesome. Like, I don't know how you.
I don't know how you do it. I can't. Yeah, we are different.
I'll
take
an hour on a paragraph, like, to make it look good and feel good.
Cuz Radio is going to be fun this morning.
Hey,
join us. Remember, support life saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partners. We have so many of them here at the station, and we appreciate them all that make a donation to the AACR. Check out our friends at H&H Heating and Air Conditioning for cancer research today. You can do it 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., and you'll hear who's going to win the Eagles-Titans game in the first 5 minutes. John Kincaid Show saying, Cuz Radio comes your way next. Have a great, great Thursday, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.